1999 and 2002, when she was underage, she was forced to have sex with Prince Andrew on several occasions. What was your reaction when you heard that?
Well, knowing him as I know him, and he's one of the greatest men I've ever met in my life, and my best friend, and great father to my children, I just thought, I don't understand in this day and age how people can make salacious lies up. This is defamation of character of a person that is the opposite to how he's being portrayed.
Prince Andrew have a nickname at that time?
It was called the c***. Plain and simple, because unfortunately, he upset everyone he come across. He was the most unpopular member of the royal family while I was there. And he was just rude, arrogant. I mean, his sense of self-entitlement was breathtaking.
The Epstein fallout, raining like molten disgust from the sky, is so widespread that the panic amongst the normies has cracked wide open, while the scramble to close Pandora's box by the ghoulish establishment continues to ramp up. The pseudo-British monarchy, pseudo because they are actually German, is again under fire as King Charles, longtime pal of the late cadaver-raping pedophile Jimmy Savile, watches his disgraced brother Prince Andrew get hauled in by police amid the latest Epstein file dumps. The UK elite, essentially a pedo class at this point.
Oh, no, some people want the age of consent to be four.
What?
What country is this?
UK, our nation, yes.
What?
If you look at the people who are involved in the paedophile information exchange, which was most, had most of its power probably from the 70s onwards, 80s, 90s, they had funding from the Home Office in the 90s. Mm. Those people are still around. In fact, one of the members of the paedophile information exchange is the treasurer of Edinburgh Pride. Some of them are academics, and they look very, very, you know, professional as they're talking about the importance of, you know, giving children their own autonomy.
Tom O'Carroll is a self-confessed, unrepentant pedophile and one of the founding members of the Pedophile Information Exchange. He now shies away from advocating the age of four. Too easily misunderstood, he says.
The age of four came into it insofar as children by that age are normally verbal and can normally say whether they are liking a particular kind of activity or not.
A proclivity passed down from the late Lord Mountbatten Windsor to his pedo relatives.
To the royal family, he was irreplaceable, especially to Prince Charles, who grew up under Mountbatten's watchful eye. But there's one lesson Charles never knew he was being taught: how to hide desire in plain sight. Because Mountbatten was married, but not monogamous, not straight, and not harmless. A 1944 FBI file described him as a homosexual with a perversion for young boys. That wasn't just American paranoia. British intelligence, too, noted that Mountbatten had a lust for working-class youth, often teenage naval cadets, the kind who couldn't say no. In the 1970s, guests at his Broadlands estate described weekends filled with entertainment that rarely included his wife.
Andrew Mountbatten Windsor was arrested on his ominous 66th birthday of suspicion of misconduct in public office, tied to his Epstein connections and espionage against the state that can carry a life sentence.
Ghislaine Maxwell's family have seen fit to comment. Astonished to see Andrew Mountbatten Windsor arrested today over alleged misconduct in public office linked to material from the so-called Epstein files. You are related to a woman who has been charged with sex trafficking crimes, and you are saying allegedly called the Epstein files. He is entitled to the presumption of innocence and a fair process. What fair process have any of the victims of your relative, Ghislaine Maxwell, received?
Andrew was held for 12 hours, then released under investigation, with cops raiding his former homes the next day. Fresh emails show him allegedly sharing sensitive UK government information about trips to Southeast Asia and Afghan investments with Epstein back in 2010 to 2011 during his trade rep days.
Now they're releasing photos out of the Epstein file of him with fake breasts with babies, playing with babies on the ground with fake breasts.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VFM members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VFM membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday afternoon, the 23rd of February, 2006. We got a lot to talk about in Mexico, absolutely exploding into Civil War-level violence. We also have some updates to what's going on in the Middle East as we made it through yet another weekend without starting World War III. Congratulations, everybody. We all deserve a pat on the back for that. We're going to be joined by Dan Dix in the next segment. He's on the ground in Mexico, has a first-hand view of what has gone down over the last 24 hours. Absolute, complete insanity. And there's some good news when it comes to the Olympics. And how, despite the left's attempts to degrade and destroy, you know, these lovely things that we have, like the Olympics, still the patriotism and the excellence of American athletes shines through. And we had a really amazing victory with hockey and multiple gold medals in figure skating with the new star, Alyssa Liu. And there's a lot of controversy, a lot of debate around whether you're allowed to like her or not. We'll settle that discussion here, I think. The answer is she's ours. We own her. The left doesn't get to appreciate the Olympics, actually. Actually, the left doesn't get to participate in the Olympics at all, as far as I'm concerned. It is literally everything they hate. If you think about it for 10 seconds, what is the Olympics? The Olympics is a celebration of national pride. It's a competition that is gendered. Males compete against males. Females compete against females. There's reality there. You don't get extra points because of how you were born. You don't, you know, let the less competent ahead of you in line. No, it's actually pure excellence, pure like measurable differences and judging one thing better than another. Leftists don't get to participate in this. I'm sorry. You don't even get to pretend, all right? You don't like nation states. You don't like gender division. You don't like judging things on the basis of reality. You don't get to have fun at the Olympics. We do. You get to do the opening ceremony and the closing ceremony, and you get to fill it with all sorts of satanic, antichrist, transgender nonsense. But when it comes to the actual event, that's ours, and everybody participating belongs to us, the Patriots, okay? They're on our side. Or waving the American flag. Now, people like that Goo woman, I can't remember her first name, but her last name is Goo, okay? And she grew up in America, benefited from, you know, American excellence, and now chooses to compete for China. She should be sent back to China. She should be sent home. She's a traitor. So we don't, the Olympics is a great place where there's very hard lines. Like, you compete for us or you compete for them. And I've always thought it'd be funny to do like a future Olympics thing, because it has degraded to a certain degree with the amount of immigration everywhere. Like, in a future globalist world, you'd watch the Olympics and you'd watch, you know, the 200 meter race, and it'd be a Kenyan in an American uniform, a Kenyan in a UK uniform, a Kenyan in a French unicorn uniform, a Kenyan in an African or a, you know, German uniform.
And just a bunch of Kenyans competing against each other. And then we get to go, oh, America won with our Kenyan. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, actually. It makes even less sense if you then have every competition dominated by men. And it's like the men's freestyle competition. And it's a bunch of men doing it. And then the women's freestyle competition. And it's a bunch of less capable men competing against each other. So we'll talk about all this as well. The culture wars are alive. And once again, we're reminded that any show of patriotism, any celebration of human achievement, of purity, of beauty, it all flies in the face of the left who want to tear all of this down. So they're trying to act like, you know, this 20-year-old girl winning the ice skating gold medal. She like has gone to a Palestinian protest. They're like, you're supposed to hate her. You're supposed to hate this girl because she disagrees with you about one thing. And we're just like, do you see what she's holding? Do you see what she's draping over her shoulders? That's our flag. She's one of us. So shut the hell up and go away. We aren't like you. This is the issue. The left thinks we're like them. The left does genuinely hate anybody that disagrees with them on anything. And they're very confused at why we don't also feel that way. Tell you what, she's good at figure skating. That's why. She seems joyful and hardworking and patriotic. So we love her. Sorry. Sorry she, you know, has some views, which, by the way, I agree with when it comes to Palestine. But even if she was woke, even if she, you know, is whatever, she's a 20-year-old figure skater. We don't look to her for our political views, obviously. We don't need that. No, we've got intelligent people who spend their lives investigating this stuff. She is a great figure skater, and we celebrate her for that and honor her hard work in that realm. This is very confusing to the leftists who see everything as intrinsically political. Didn't mean to get off on that little tangent there, because I got videos to show you on all that, and we'll get into it in a real way in just a moment. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 23rd of February, 2026. Law enforcement kills armed man seeking to enter Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort, officials say. The U.S. Secret Service and local police shot and killed a man armed with a shotgun early on Sunday after he breached a secure perimeter at President Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort in Palm Beach, Florida, law enforcement officials said. Trump, who's currently in Washington, was not at the site at the time. The man in Sunday's incident was identified as Austin Tucker Martin, 21, from North Carolina. According to a source familiar with the investigation, Martin was reported missing within the last few days, according to the source. Now, he apparently has been obsessed, this shooter guy, this guy who tried to sneak into Mar-a-Lago with a shotgun, had been obsessed with the Epstein documents, and particularly Trump being involved in the Epstein documents. So it looks like we have yet another radical potential or, you know, attempted assassin radicalized by the staccatic terror and lies of the left. We'll get into that more later. Meanwhile, Mexican military kills cartel boss El Mincho in U.S.-backed raid. One of Mexico's most notorious drug lords, Nemesio Oseguera, or El Mincho, was killed in a military raid on Sunday, sparking widespread retaliatory violence. President Claudia Sheinbaum has been under mounting pressure from Washington to intensify her offense against the drug cartels blamed for producing and smuggling drugs, particularly the synthetic opioid fentanyl, across the border to the U.S. And, of course, that's a ridiculous request because she's owned by the cartels, obviously. The last two presidents of Mexico, both, despite living in a country that experiences literally hundreds of murders every time an election happens, literally hundreds of reporters and candidates and politicians, they all get murdered every time Mexico has a nationwide election. Yet somehow the last two presidents have forsworn and not even walked around with security guards. So you live in a country that is replete with corruption, with people murdering politicians on a regular basis, but you don't even have bodyguards. That's probably because you're in with the violent people that do the killing, if I had to guess. Yeah, we'll get into what exactly is happening in Mexico. But it's just, if you were watching the show last week, you already know what I have to say, that Mexico is America with its corruption meter ticked up about 3 points. And, you know, people have this idea that, you know, America is just Mexico with less food or whatever. Yeah, less spicy food. But it's like, no. Mexico is a hellhole. It is an absolute chaos of victimization and tyranny. It's really a dangerous and dreadful place. And we're turning into them, so let's not do that. There's a reason why we don't have running battles of cartel armies in our streets, because we don't stand for the corruption like Mexico does. There's a reason that, you know, Texas isn't Mexico. It goes back to the Alamo. The fact that a bunch of Anglos decided to fight for control of this land, and so it's not a hellhole of cartels and human trafficking and drug manufacturing and dead bodies hanging from light poles and random outbreaks of massive, unrestrained violence against civilian populations because the leader of a drug gang gets kidnapped. See, we're not like that because we have some, constitutional differences in our people, not differences in the Constitution. I mean, in the definitional word, constitution. Our makeup is different. We're a little bit different in our spirit and what we value and what we are willing to put up with or not, what we champion as a culture. Again, we don't need to spend a lot of time on Texas Revolution, but I did post something about the Alamo yesterday, and it's just every time I do something like that, I'm just bombarded with misinformation about the Mexican Texas Revolution. It's just absurd. It's very annoying. I'll just talk about one thing real quick because I saw somebody comment on my comment saying, this was about slavery. The white people just wanted slaves and the Mexicans didn't want them to have slaves. And if you believe that, you are the victim of the most obscene blood libel, misinformation, thought crime the world's ever seen. I'm pretty sure nobody who gave their lives at the Alamo had slaves. I guarantee you Davy Crockett didn't have slaves. Jim Bowie didn't have slaves. These people didn't have slaves. What the hell are you talking about? Not only what the hell are you talking about, these people didn't have slaves, but also, do you know like 15 provinces of Mexico all went into revolution when Santa Anna got in charge? Santa Anna was a dictator of Mexico, and half of the Mexican states rebelled against him. And he didn't go to Texas first. First he went to like Zapata or something and crushed them ruthlessly, and then let his soldiers rape and pillage their own people for 2 weeks straight. Then they came to the Alamo and couldn't get past 186 men for 2 weeks. Because we're better than them, I think, is what the answer is. Anyway, we can get back into later, but there's just so many lies about our history. And the biggest lie, perhaps in all of it, is that it doesn't matter. Is that, they won the Alamo, they lost the Alamo. Like, what does it really matter, right? I mean, these things are our ancient history. And it's like, well, the reason it matters is because, I don't know, I can still walk around at night in Austin and not be decapitated by a criminal gang using weapons that they got from Ukraine via NATO. It's like, yeah, it's actually a very big difference. It was actually a miracle what happened. Anyway, we'll get back into that. Meanwhile, more consequences for the Jeffrey Epstein list. In the UK alone, apparently, former UK Ambassador Mandelson has been arrested after Epstein revelations. Former British Ambassador to the US, Peter Mandelson, was arrested by London police on Monday on suspicion of misconduct in public office. Following revelations over his ties to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, Mandelson, 72, was fired from the most prestigious posting in Britain's diplomatic service in September when the depth of his friendship with Epstein started to become clear. Police earlier this month began a criminal investigation into Mandelson after the Prime Minister Keir Starmer's government passed on communications between the former ambassador and Epstein. Officers have arrested the 72-year-old man on suspicion of misconduct. Mandelson was filmed leaving his central London home accompanied by plainclothes police officers wearing body cameras before being driven away in a car. The arrest means police suspect a crime has been committed but does not imply any guilt. There's no immediate response from Mandelson's lawyers. We'll get back into that here in just a minute as well. In fact, I have a pretty good video explaining exactly what a big deal this is. Then we have this, and we have a response from Trump on this. Donald Trump priorities questioned by majority of Americans. Almost 7 in 10 Americans say that President Trump is focusing on the wrong problems in the U.S., according to a poll released ahead of his State of the Union address on Tuesday. In the CNN poll published Monday, 68% of respondents said that the president, quote, hasn't paid enough attention to the country's most important problems. 32%, by comparison, said that Trump has had all the right priorities. The results come as Trump and the GOP are facing challenges over concerns about affordability, controversy surrounding files linked to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, two deaths at the hand of federal immigration authorities in Minnesota, and recent Democratic election victories, which include places like Texas, where the Democrats are outvoting Republicans in the early voting that ends with the election on March 3rd for the primaries. We'll get back to that and show you Trump's response to this. He seems delusional and misled by the state of his administration. And he seems like he genuinely thinks that his supporters are still very much approving of what he's doing and are still there. It's very weird because for his entire political career, they have been lying about his support. The mainstream media, the pollsters, everybody has been lying to Donald Trump about his support and saying, ah, you're unpopular, you're never going to win, then he wins. And so I don't know if that's got him in this mindset of like, just don't believe anybody that tells you you're unpopular, but it's different this time. It's different this time. They're not lying. No, we are upset. You are focusing on the wrong things. This isn't a mainstream media Democrat hoax. This is real. And hopefully he'll get that message when he meets with Tucker Carlson. I think today they're supposed to be meeting. And by speculating, he's, you know, Donald Trump is ushering in Tucker Carlson to give him a beat down and tell him to cool it with the anti-Semitism. I wonder if that's really what's going on. We'll get back into that later. Meanwhile, and finally, President Trump congratulates U.S. hockey team on gold medal victory, invites them to the State of the Union address. President Donald Trump called FBI Director Kash Patel following Sunday morning's historic victory by the U.S. men's hockey team at the 2026 Winter Olympics so he could speak directly to the players, as Patel attended the game in person and was partying in the U.S. locker room after the win. The gold medal victory over Canada was the first U.S. men's hockey first for U.S. men's hockey since the legendary 1980 Miracle on Ice game against the Soviet Union. The president began by praising the team's goalie, Connor Halbiuk, for his stellar performance before offering to send a military plane to pick up the hockey players and fly them to Washington, D.C. so they can attend Tuesday's State of the Union address, which is great. And it's just great to see just some unmitigated and unqualified patriotism from a bunch of hockey players. Let's go to clip number 37 here. This was sort of the star hockey player. This is the guy who won the scored the final goal in overtime, I believe. Clip 37. This is what it used to be like, folks. For the kids watching, this is what it used to always be like. This is like a blast from the past, but perhaps a bit of hope that we can reclaim our pride in the future. Let's go to clip 37 now.
This is all about our country right now. I love the USA. I love my teammates. It's unbelievable. The USA Hockey Brotherhood is so strong, and we have so much support from ex-players. I'm so proud to be American today.
This was such an incredible game to grind out. I mean, you're bleeding right through it just looking at you right now. Can you just talk about how difficult this gold medal was to win?
Unbelievable game by Hellebuck. He was our best player tonight by a mile. Unbelievable game. Unreal game by our team. That's just a ballsy, gutsy win. That's American hockey right there. That's a great Canadian team, but we're USA. We're so proud to be Americans. Tonight was all for the country.
What does this gold medal mean to USA hockey?
It's everything. Like I said, the USA Hockey Brotherhood means so much. Look at these guys. We're such a team. We've been together for 2 weeks. We're such a team. The USA Hockey Brotherhood is so strong, and we're so proud to win for our country.
Watch up behind the net. And it's Werenski. Now Jack Hughes pokes it around McCarr. United States with numbers. Watch across it comes. Jack Hughes wins it. The golden goal for the United States. For the first time since the 1980 miracle, the United States takes the gold. Jack Hughes beating Jordan Binnington.
Yeah.
So that's the U.S. hockey team celebrating their gold medal victory with Kash Patel. And again, some very patriotic words from star player Jack Hughes, who helped to secure the victory that night. And again, just the iconic images that are coming out, especially of Jack Hughes draped in the American flag and with his tooth chipped. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's just classic. It's just awesome. And then you've got the victory by Alyssa Liu. We can go to clip number five here. This is the type of stuff that's coming out with from Alyssa Liu. And it's no wonder, you know, she's capturing the hearts of the nation. Let's go to clip five. Yeah, we're not letting the left take her from us. We're not letting it happen, even though they're trying desperately to claim that we're not allowed to like her because she has some bad political views, but we're not listening to her. And actually, her history is bizarre and fascinating. She was one of five children of her father, who was a Chinese immigrant to America. Her four younger sisters and her were all born via surrogate mothers using Arthur, her father's sperm, and anonymous egg donors from Caucasian donors, per reports. This involved two surrogate mothers. Arthur raised them as a single father by choice with help from his mother, who moved from China to assist her. The family structure has been widely reported in sources like NBC and People. So kind of an odd, I don't know, it reminds me of the Venus and Serena Williams story, where you get a dad that really wants to make their kids into all-star athletes, and you can actually succeed in that. We'll touch on this a little bit more later, because again, I do think it's fascinating, the cultural confusion here and the left trying desperately to figure out why the right wing likes this girl, even though her hair is dyed and she has, you know, piercings. And it's like, I don't know. Because she's cool, she's patriotic, because she's not of a hateful, miserable person like all of you are. You could take a lesson from this. Now, we get back on the other side. We're going to talk to Dan Dix. He's actually in Mexico and has some firsthand eyewitness testimony about what happened yesterday. We'll talk to him and about what Americans that are stuck there can do in this situation. And it's a good reminder that our civilization is not as, you know, rock solid and permanent as we like to believe. And it just takes an afternoon of destruction to mean that you are isolated and communicationless and at the mercy of a bunch of random lawless criminals. So we'll talk to Dan Dix, who's been in that maelstrom, here very shortly. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com is the only way that we stay on air. It's the only way that we continue this operation, continue these broadcasts, and continue to cover the stories that matter to the world on a daily basis. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And can we play that techno one again? Can we just go out with Alyssa Liu one more time? Let's go to clip three here. Clip four, whichever.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said, sure, he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. And the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in.
Because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue. And then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it, yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed, it's not caffeine, it's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimethylene Blue, thealexjonesshow.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it from SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
It's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in, and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined now by Dan Dix. He is a activist, journalist, and award-winning filmmaker and the founder of Press for Truth. You can follow him on X at Dan Dix PFT, and you can go to pressfortruth.ca in order to support and follow him. Mr. Dix, thank you so much for coming on today.
Oh, absolutely, man. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Oh, the pleasure is mine. What's happening right now? What is the state of Mexico right now? Last night we saw some insane imagery of fires across the city, and the report was that the international airport was completely shut down. What is the situation now?
Yeah, things yesterday were absolutely insane. Things have relatively calmed down for now. As I understand it, they are now trying to open up the roads again, trying to allow buses and taxis and Ubers to travel again, trying to let people, you know, make their way to the airport if possible. I think they're going to start allowing flights to take off again. However, logistically, that may still be hard, even if they're opening up the roads and doing that, because as I understand it, the cartel had like a backhoe that was digging up the roads.
Yes.
So even if they do that, it may potentially be very difficult. But in the area immediately surrounding me, things seem to have calmed down. However, if you go outside, everything is still closed. Not a single store is open. Everything is shut down. It's really quiet around here. But no more major fires, no more smoke. And it looks like they're starting to work on getting the roads back up and running. So it may be another day, maybe a couple of days, but things are starting to look a little bit better here in Puerto Vallarta.
And how are you getting information about this? I mean, are you in conversation with the hotel? Are they letting you know what's going on? Are accommodations being made? Just what is it like being there and wanting to get out? Like, what are the possibilities?
Well, it's been difficult. This morning I had to stand in line for hours, and my wife as well, where the hundreds of people going all the way out the door from the concierge desk all the way out to the sidewalk outside. And these are people who are staying at this hotel who now have to rebook and extend their stay because all of their flights have been canceled. Some of them, I heard one guy in a line before me saying that Delta was not going to be flying him out until Saturday. Today is Monday. So obviously that's a significant extension to the stay here. You can see the line there right now. And for myself, my flight has been canceled as well. And I still have not yet heard from my airline. They said they will send me a new itinerary soon. But I was supposed to be flown out here already, and I still have no word on my new itinerary. So it could be a day, could be 2 days, could be a week for me. I really have no idea how long I'm going to stay here. So I booked this room for another couple of nights. I figured it's going to be a couple at least. But it's tough to say. That could extend. And so, yeah, I've been getting some information from people on the grounds here. I've been keeping track of what's going on Twitter, and I've also been paying attention to the speakers group that we have on Telegram, where I was in town working at a conference. I was invited here to speak at a conference, and that's what I've been doing for the last 5 days before this happened. And so we have a Telegram group for all the speakers of the conference, and obviously these are a lot of people just like me who do this sort of thing for a living. They eat, sleep, and breathe this stuff, so they're staying on top of it. So I've got a good source there for where to get some of the groundbreaking information. So that's kind of how I've been staying on top of things. But to be honest, the last, like, all day, I've just been doing interviews like this, and I've been trying to figure out how I'm going to, you know, rebook the hotel, trying to figure out when my next flight is going to be. So I haven't had a whole heck of a lot of time to really delve deep into what's going on behind the scenes here. But all good right now at this particular hotel. I'm not going to venture outside again. I don't know if you heard earlier, I was telling Alex on the show, was earlier today or maybe yesterday, about how I went outside yesterday, and it was just a wasteland. There was smoldering, burning cars right there in front of me, and not a single soul on the road. It was so eerie. It was like something out of a movie, just absolutely nobody around. So I busted out my camera, and I started doing a video report, and all of a sudden, the only one and only vehicle I saw pulled up on me, and it was a pickup truck. There's the footage. Right before I started shooting that, a pickup truck rolled up on me with 8 or 9 guys with machine guns in the back of this pickup truck, all with black ski masks. And I had no idea if this was the cartel or if this was the military. And either one of those is dangerous to be around right now. Cartel's bad. Military is the target of the cartel. So it was a pretty scary scene, just stepping outside the hotel. But I haven't ventured outside today yet, but I'm going to do that soon and see what it's like, and probably shoot another similar video as the one you're seeing there, and maybe compare the scenes from yesterday to today and see what it's actually like out there right now on the grounds.
Well, Puerto Vallarta, I know, is a major hub of tourism, and Mexico relies on a lot of tourism. And there's always sort of an understanding between the cartels and the Mexican government that, like, okay, as long as your activity doesn't blow up and become an international story and damage our tourism, then you can kind of operate, underneath the surface as much as you want. Clearly, this is going to have catastrophic implications for the tourism industry in Mexico. And it would seem to me like if I was Mexican government, I'd be doing everything I could to make sure the airport was up and running and the hotel, like everybody there got vouchers. I mean, is there anything like that? Or it sounds like it's kind of going the other way in that they're making you book more rooms and like spend money, to extend the stay, even though it's not your fault the stay is being extended. I mean, is there any sort of consideration for Americans that are there from the Mexican government or from the hotels that you're staying at?
Not that I know of. In fact, I have no other option or choice but to rebook the room. Like, I can't, they can't just send me out there. And so I have no option but to rebook the room, and they're not giving me the same rate that I had. It's a little bit more of a rate. So, and when I kind of complained about that at the desk, I'm like, look, this is what I paid for the last couple of days. Why pay the same now? And he's like, hey, hotel rates change in hotels. It depends on the day, man. You know, it is what it is. And so I'm kind of forced to now pay a little bit more to stay in here. And I heard other people signing in around me who are complaining about similar things saying, oh my, the rate has gone up. And so all of a sudden we're forced to dish this out of our pockets. Now I did get a message from my airline WestJet saying that because it's not any fault of my own that their flight was canceled, they may be able to reimburse me for a hotel stay, but I'm going to have to just keep the receipts and go through the process of getting a reimbursement much after the fact, if in fact they end up doing that. But it's possible some people may be able to get a little bit of a little bit of help in that regards. But certainly in my situation, the Canadian consulate, I doubt is going to be any help. I mean, I would imagine they're probably backlogged and kind of overwhelmed with phone calls and visits right now. And I doubt it is their top priority to get people out right now. When it comes to a humanitarian mission for the Canadian government, they're not really interested in doing it for their people. They're more interested in doing it if it advances the agendas of the powers that ought not be. So it remains to be seen what's going to happen there. But I think we're on our own, essentially. We're going to have to just kind of hunker down in the hotel, hope that this thing kind of blows over in the next day or two, and hopefully we'll be able to hop on a plane and get the heck out of here. But again, only time will tell at this point.
Wow. And so far there's just sort of vague intentions that the airport will be open soon, but no flights being booked right now. That's absolutely terrifying. So for all intents and purposes, you're trapped there and having to pay for the privilege for the time being. That's not a good place to be in. How did this unfold for you? Like, it must have been bizarre. I know I've experienced that with hurricanes where the whole city, is cleared out. And so you're on the highway as the only car, and there's like a very disturbing feeling. But that was after, I guess, the chaos had started and you went outside. Nobody was out there. How did this begin? What was your first inkling that something was happening?
Well, it was pretty wild. As I said, I'm here to speak at a conference. So for the last 5 days leading up to this, I've been doing 12 hour days at a conference, meeting attendees, doing speaking engagements, going essentially from my hotel to the convention center and back to the hotel and back to the convention center, and just, doing talks and stuff like that. And, so I had one day for me and my wife to enjoy the beach, get some sun, have some much needed relaxation. And it's funny enough that the last thing I posted was a picture of me and my wife on the beach saying, finally, our beach day, some much needed beach time. And that's right when we checked in. And then yesterday was supposed to be our full day to have a little bit of time before we go home to just relax, unwind after this conference. And as soon as we stepped out onto the beach that second time, I saw huge plumes of smoke when I looked this way, huge plumes of smoke when I looked that way, huge pile of black smoke behind the resort. I was like, we're surrounded by black smoke. And I even zoomed in on one of them, and you could see the flames coming out at the bottom. That video has gone absolutely viral. I think 8 or 9 million views on Twitter. And that was just sitting right in the back on the beach. And that's when it all started really clicking in. We're like, something major is going on here. And we looked it up. I started getting some intel from my speakers, Telegram group. And that's when we found out, okay, they just took out a top cartel drug lord. And when you do that in Mexico, it's basically a declaration of war. They're not doing that unexpectedly, getting this response. I think they understood what the response was going to be. And sure enough, they came with their full might and power. These guys, these cartels around here, like they dress like the military sometimes. They literally have tanks that they can roll around in the streets with. I've heard that when this has happened in the past, they will literally have rocket launchers that they will shoot at military helicopters. They have these kinds of things at their disposal. So these guys are serious. These guys mean business. And when you take out one of their top guys, you better believe you're going to be engaged in quite the battle. Now, I know you guys talk about, you know, the how the powers that ought not be often utilize order out of chaos. It's their modus operandi.
Right.
It's a classic problem reaction solution scenario where you have a problem like this. You're going to get a reaction from the Mexican people, which is like, oh, my gosh, please do something about this for us. This is crazy. And then you offer the solution. And I could very well see some of that coming in the form of digital IDs, just a heightened surveillance state in general, more cameras going up, and just a general lockdown vibe is what the Mexican people might be able to expect out of this. I hate to say it, but this is a global agenda to clamp down on people's rights, to track, trace, and database everybody. And this may be used as an excuse to clamp down on the Mexican people and to finally force them to give in to the digital ID global surveillance grid. So that's something we have to be wary of as well. They're obviously going hard doing that in the UK. They're starting to do it pretty big in Canada. And maybe now it's Mexico's turn to fall in line to the powers that ought not be, as they're probably going to use this as a way to take people's rights away, their freedoms and liberties right here in Mexico.
But of course, that's not going to apply to the people that we're seeing on screen here, which are, you know, is Mexican cartel with armored militarized vehicles and, you know, automatic machine guns and even truck mounted machine guns in some cases. So yeah, just once again, I mean, if you're, you know, in Mexico as a regular civilian, it's almost impossible to get a gun, but somehow their cartels are as well armed as the military is. So this one's getting sort of the inefficacy of these laws of gun control. Well, the bad guys just get bigger and better guns, and then the people of Mexico are left completely defenseless and having to beg their government to come in and rescue them. And of course, I've been talking about this for a while, actually, when it comes to Mexico, because people have this idea that Mexico is like, oh, it's just America with like spicier food. But it's like, guys, if you take America and you crank up the corruption about 4%, we're in Mexico territory, and it is utter and complete chaos. I mean, did you see any of that before all of this broke out, or had your trip so far been pretty clear of corruption before, you know, the civil war broke out?
It's been pretty clear. I mean, I've always had a good time in Mexico. I've never really run into any issues. I know the media, like, will often, there's warnings coming out from the Canadian media, at least, not to, you know, go here. There was years ago anyways. This is my 7th year attending this conference. It's usually held in Acapulco, which is even more so told that it's a really dangerous, scary place, but I've never had a problem there. This year, the conference was moved to Puerto Vallarta, and this is the first time that I've kind of had any real serious issues like this. But I'm certainly not going to make that get me into a fear state and have me, you know, want to not come back. I mean, if I'm invited to speak at this conference again next year, I'm certainly going to take them up on the offer again and come down. I don't think this is something we have to necessarily worry about going on and happening on a regular basis. This is definitely a unique event, and I just so happened to have gotten caught up on it, in it, unfortunately. I was supposed to be flying out. I was supposed to be getting home almost by now, but things didn't go that way. And when I was had one day to relax on the beach, that turned into time to get back to work, and I've been just doing nothing but that ever since. So, yeah, I'm not going to allow any of the fear to stop me from continuing to speak at events or even document things like this. You know, I plan on going out soon after these interviews to explore the streets again and just to give you a comparative view of what it looks like now compared to what it looked like yesterday. That's my plan. We, you know, can't live in fear. Just got to keep plugging away and, you know, just put on the armor of God and pray that he's got your back.
Wow. Well, it's, you're going to have a very exciting vacation story to tell. It's not to make light of it, but it's like, you know, first they lose your luggage, and then you have trouble checking into the hotel, and then you're on the beach and a civil war breaks out. It's like, what else could go wrong? I mean, it's got to be surreal for you to be experiencing this. I'm, you know, glad you're not, you know, letting the fear get to you, but I got to wonder, if I was in your position, like, how are you finding information? How are you learning about what's going on? Are you, like, you could watch the news, I guess, but do you speak Spanish and could you even understand that? How are you, like, just getting a handle on what's going on and where you can go and what's safe and what's not?
You know, there's a lot of talk from the people who are, here, you know, but mostly, I mean, yeah, there's nothing I can really watch on TV. Everything's Spanish, and that's mostly just going to be propaganda spin anyways that I wouldn't necessarily trust. So I've been getting a lot of information from X, interestingly enough. I've also been relying on the speaker's Telegram group from the conference that I was in attendance at. And really, that speaks to the need to have community and to network with like-minded people more than ever. You know, we can't be relying on the government to come in and solve the problems that were created by the government. We can't be relying on, you know, the consulate or some, you know, U.S. or Canadian humanitarian intervention campaign. Nothing like that is going to happen, and we shouldn't be relying on it anyways. We need to be working with each other and helping each other. So I've been building community for the last 5 days. I've been meeting like-minded people. I've met a lot of fantastic freedom-minded people at this conference who live in Puerto Vallarta. So should things get worse, should things go down a even worse road, I'm gonna, you know, have those contacts to be able to help me get out of this crazy situation. So that's what we need to focus on moving forward, is having that community, networking with like-minded people, building friendly relationships with the people that you are surrounded with who understand what's truly going on. And so, yeah, I've been kind of relying on them for some of my information, because to be honest, today has been filled with, I think you're my 9th interview of the day, and I've got a couple more lined up here as soon as I'm done with this. So it's kind of been taking up a lot of my time today, and also just the logistics of trying to figure out what I'm going to do for my flight, my hotel. So I haven't had all the time yet to really kind of deep dive into what's happening here behind the scenes, but maybe I can delve a little deeper as soon as I get home. But for now, I'm going to rely on some of the friends I've made around here and some of the things I'm seeing on Twitter as well.
Well, we appreciate you, you know, giving us the time and helping us to explain, because to me, it's just, even trying to imagine what it was like to go through this is hard for me to picture. It's hard for me to, and, you know, maybe we have more information than you even do, but you have a different view there on the ground that's got to be more visceral, and in my opinion, more important in understanding, like, how this can happen and how it, you know, isn't just Mexico that has criminal gangs. I mean, this could break out anywhere. And so, I mean, as of now, you're planning on staying there, you know, indefinitely, right? Hopefully not for more than a few days, but we have seen, you know, images of them breaking up highways with backhoes. That's going to take a while to repair. So, you know, is there any feeling you get that this is over and now it's just like patching things up, or is there going to be another round of violence? Because so far I haven't seen that there's been a big, you know, counterattack with a bunch of, you know, arrests or killings of the cartel members. So, you know, they exploded in this orgy of violence yesterday, and then they all, I guess, went back in their caves, wherever they are. Any fear that it's going to break out again, or do you think it's fairly well contained by the Mexican army now?
I do feel like things are starting to calm down and are hopefully going to continue on that kind of trajectory, but we could also be witnessing the eye of the hurricane. We certainly could be just in a quiet moment before they decide to strike again. And so my guard is certainly up in that regards. You know, I've had a lot of people suggesting that I start stockpiling some food and bottled water right here in the hotel room, just in case logistically getting food into the hotel starts to become a problem.
Right.
So we're all certainly thinking about those types of things. We're hoping and praying that this just ends immediately, or at least fizzles out in the next day or two. But there's sure a very real possibility that it could kick into high gear and be even worse than it was yesterday. That's a very real possibility, and that's something I'm taking seriously as well. So I will be stocking up on those bottles of water and some food that I can keep here in the room, just in case it expands to not only being able to leave the hotel, but being confided to the room, because it's quite possible that food could be an issue around here, especially if they don't get the road situation figured out.
Well, that's how quickly things can turn around, even for, you know, a tourist hotspot like you know, some of the coastal towns in Mexico. It's really, really kind of terrifying. Well, thank you for coming on and sharing your story, and I hope you stay safe. How can people support you and find your work and follow your adventures here?
Well, you know, I have a YouTube channel. You could find Search and Press for Truth, but that's censoring me. That's already been deleted once and then reinstated and then deleted again and then reinstated again. So there's a good chance they're going to delete that again. So I'm on Rumble, I'm on BitChute, I'm on Odyssey, I'm on Minds, I'm on Band, I'm on probably about 8 or 9 different platforms. So the best way to find all of that is to go to pressfortruth.ca, or if you go to pressfortruth.ca/subscribe, you can find a link, a list of all the different various platforms that I post on. You can get stuff a little bit more quickly and up to date if you follow me on Twitter or x.com/DanDixPFT. And if anybody wants to contribute to my efforts here, you can go to pressfortruth.ca/donate. Any amount helps, because as I said, I was not expecting to have to extend my stay at this hotel at a higher rate than they were originally charging me. This is all just kind of hitting me by surprise. So if anybody feels they want to pitch in, if they appreciate my efforts to be here, boots on the ground doing this reporting, go to pressfortruth.ca/donate.
Well, we certainly appreciate it. Follow Dan on X at DanDixPFT, pressfortruth.ca. Thank you so much. Godspeed. I hope you stay safe, and we will be watching your progress and praying for your safe return. Thank you for being with us, Mr. Dix.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. You keep up the great work.
We'll do what we can. We'll be right back, folks. That's the Press for Truth channel on band.video.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at theauctionstore.com. And they had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives. That's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it. So people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly. 4 or 5 great designs. They got a bigger shipment in just the last few days. Our sponsor, just really top flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it. These sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $40-something bucks. Okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small. It's a nice little memento. You support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on to your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire with Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, they all showed burnt orange folding knife, and this is the knife that sold out the quickest of any knife. They got 500 of these, 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones ring blade. Yes, those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're in it, get methylene blue, Irish sea moss, and more. And check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.
Folks, this is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I'm just looking for a really good breakdown of what's happening in Mexico. Let's go first to clip number 25. This is Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum when asked about why she was not cracking down on the criminal cartels that basically operate with impunity in her country. Let's watch. She says, the narco is not an option. Going after the narco is not an option. It's not an option. First, because it is outside the framework of the law. All these, the right wing, the mouths, the words, the rule of law, and defend the war against the narco. The war against the narco is outside the law because, as I said or have said on several occasions, it is permission to kill without any trial. And that in Mexico, nobody or very few are in agreement. It is outside the framework of the law, and secondly, it did not serve any purpose other than to increase homicides in Mexico and the level of violence. So these are called authoritarian because they are authoritarian, is going towards fascism. Yeah, you're fascist if you want to round up the criminal cartels that run your country. Mexico did not want to fight the cartels because she said it would be authoritarian to simply clamp down on them. Okay, but do you recognize the language she's using? Did it happen to strike a bell in your head that what she said is literally exactly the argument that activists are using against ICE? That they're saying, well, you know, what this really is extrajudicial killing. It's the government just murdering its own citizens. You can't go to war with criminal elements inside your own country. You have to, you know, arrest them like they're, you know, the guy stealing bread from the store. You have to put them under arrest and you have to take them to a court and you have to try them and, you know, give them all the due process in the world. When in reality, we see the videos, these are militia armed gangs. If you try to actually arrest one of their leaders, they will burn your city down. You have to go after them like they're an army because that's what they are. You heard exactly the same reasoning, exactly the same, you know, phrases when you talk about going after illegal immigrants or gangs here in America, TDA and others. That's just, well, that's authoritarian. That's, you know, in violation of the rule of law. We have to stick to the rule of law. So be suspicious of anybody invoking the rule of law to explain why criminals can't be punished. Do you understand? That anybody invoking the so-called rule of law to explain why they can't actually stop criminals from harming innocent people is a liar and a manipulator and is in bed with the criminals. Obviously. And she's not the only one. The president before her had something that was like, he had a thing called hugs, not bullets. Hugs, not bullets. Crew, look that up. See if I'm remembering that correctly. Hugs, not bullets, when facing off against the cartels that will routinely, you know, skin people alive. Mexico appears to abandon its hugs, not bullets strategy as bloodshed plagues the country. Now, they just stopped announcing that's what they were doing because it was so ridiculous to say that you're going to treat the rampant criminal militia, frankly, bigger army than yours, to hugs. You're going to treat them with hugs. You're going to hug them and tell them that they're loved, and that will make them understand that they don't need crime. Like, I don't know what it is that's made the entire Western world devolve into this preschool ideology of just like friendly. I don't know. I don't know what it is, But at a certain point, you got to get over it. You got to understand the rule of law itself is at threat by these organizations. And so to operate against them outside of the rule of law is, in fact, the thing you need to do to reinforce the rule of law. And if you think this is impossible, if you think this can't be done, I suggest you look at El Salvador, which had a bigger and worse problem than Mexico does, but solved it by ruthlessly going after the cartels and imbuing the El Salvadorian army with the righteous fury of crusaders, understanding that they were rescuing their country from lawlessness, and in doing so, they had to be ruthless with the criminals.
The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at X.com.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. What's going on in Mexico is very troubling. Should definitely concern all of us. Again, I'm not saying I told you so. It's just I did spend like a lot of time last week talking about how Mexico is constantly teetering on the edge of all-out horrific violence and pointing out that America is headed in that direction too, and that it's not gigantic gulfs between our two civilizations. It's just America prides itself and deliberately imbues our citizens with the idea that we do not stand for corruption. We do not allow our public servants to take a little off the top. Now that's going away because we're being flooded by people from the third world who think it's super clever and just brilliant, and that's how you get success, is you undermine the system itself or you take advantage wherever you possibly can. So like we're going in that direction, but we're still miles and miles away from where Mexico's at. And that's because our culture is different. Our tolerance level is much higher or lower, I guess. We don't tolerate nearly as much as the Mexican people do. And I don't even blame them necessarily. I mean, they have had their guns stripped from them. There's a fantastic documentary called Cartel Land that shows a Robin Hood-esque figure attempting to stand up against the cartels by arming the regular people of Mexico. And of course, the cartels kill him. And the government helps them in that by trying to shut him down at every pass. And, you know, it's just a reminder of like what it takes to get back once you've lost what we have. You understand what I mean? Like right now we have guns, we have still the remnants of freedom that our forefathers gave us. We have in general, and just certainly outside of the cities, fairly safe locales to send our children and everything. And that can all go away very easily. And once it does, how the hell do you get it back? How the hell are the people of Mexico supposed to free themselves from the chains of the cartels when they don't have guns? And the cartels are in bed with the government. And, you know, any attempt to peacefully, politically go up against them, you'll just be murdered. Any attempt to fight back against them both get shut down by the government coming in to confiscate your guns. And then you'll be murdered by the cartel in a brutal and ruthless way. Like, how do you get it back? Mexico's only hope at this point is America. Is America coming in and rescuing them from themselves? But what if America didn't exist? Or what if America becomes Mexico 2.0? Who comes in to rescue us? And if it's up to us entirely, how do you do that when the government and the criminal cartels are unified and operating in tandem to steal your rights, crush any opposition, exploit you to the maximum degree, poison or kill you if you resist? I mean, what do you do at that point? Where do you go? How do you organize against that? You know, again, we have this system that's so wonderful that, you know, we have people that are vehemently against it to go out and, you know, they think that the way that you change things is by going out and protesting because they're used to this sort of powerful but theoretically loving government that, hey, the people are unhappy. Well, let's, you know, see what we can do to calm them down or to, you know, satisfy their complaints. We have that First Amendment right to demand redress of grievances, and occasionally that works. Try protesting against the cartel. Do you think they care? Do you think you can go and wave a sign saying, stop selling drugs, stop killing us? Are they going to go, you know, you're right. I didn't realize how many people were against us. This is a pretty sizable protest, actually. Maybe we should let them have their right. Like, no, they just kill you. They just shoot you. Yeah, I'm saying all this because, like, we are on trajectory towards Mexico, and you really got to imagine, like, what would it take to get back to a place that's safe and reasonable and functional, and you don't have to know somebody to get anything done? Like, what happens when we lose what we have in America, and what does it take to get it back? Because you can look at Mexico and see it ain't easy once it gets to a certain point. Once you reach that critical mass of power from the cartels, they just run things. Let's go to clip 38 here. This is a man named Cuznvin on TikTok, Cuznvin. He gives an update on the situation in Mexico, and I think he has some interesting insight into how this will be seen and treated by the Mexican government. Let's watch.
As here, Mexico is done. In my opinion, Mexico is done. Why? Because if anybody decides to travel to Mexico after what occurred today, you got to be out of your mind. In my opinion, the tourism of Mexico is completely shot right now. It is very, very evident that the government of Mexico has completely lost control and is completely incompetent. They are not able to handle what is currently going on in the streets of Puerto Rico, pretty much all over the country of Mexico. I mean, if anybody decides to vacation at one of these resorts in Cancun or Puerto Vallarta, listen, you guys are out of your mind. You're out of your mind because it is completely done. Has gotten from bad to worse. I shot a video a couple hours ago. I thought, you know, worse was over. It's getting worse. They are now issuing ultimatums. The cartel are now issuing ultimatums. Meet our demands or else we're going to enter your homes and hotels tonight and begin people, citizens and tourists alike. This is fucking ridiculous. They're issuing ultimatums. And guess what? As it looks right now, they're looking to follow through with these ultimatums. Listen, there's shit happening all over Mexico. In Cancun, there's shootings and blockades all over the streets, carjackings erupting in what we consider one of the most popular destinations in the world. Everybody loves the resorts of Cancun, right? Everybody loves the resorts of Puerto Vallarta. Been there dozens of times. Absolutely love it. After what's happened today, never even consider flying in that country again. In regard to Puerto Vallarta, we know what's going on in Puerto Vallarta. It's up in flames, buildings, cars, blockades. I mean, everything is on fire. Gas stations are on fire. I mean, they're having shootouts in the middle of the streets, right? Between cartel members, and the Mexican military. They just killed two National Guardsmen and injured another one, in an ambush. I mean, they're not around. They're not f***ing around. It got bad. As far as Guadalajara Airport goes, I talked about this. Passengers are stranded. Flights are suspended indefinitely. No flights in and out of Guadalajara Airport. So guess what? If you want to leave the country for your safety, you're f***ing stuck. You can't go anywhere. I mean, these videos are out of control. And just when you think s*** can get worse, you know what I mean? More information comes out. In regard to the country of Mexico. Schools are closed nationwide as of tomorrow. The entire statewide system is shut down. All public events are canceled indefinitely until further notice, and that is throughout the country of Mexico, not just in Jalisco and in Puerto Vallarta, throughout the country. We all know that the National Guard is actively engaged in shootouts throughout the streets of Puerto Vallarta and Jalisco with these out-of-control cartel members, right? And the U.S. Embassy, listen, they have a shelter-in-place order throughout Puerto Vallarta, Guadalajara, Nuevo León, Guerrero, pretty much in major cities throughout Mexico, right? Shelter-in-place, do not move, okay, until we tell you to move. In Canada, out of all people, right? Guess what they did? They're mimicking, right? Exactly what the United States are doing. Identical warrants. Both countries are pulling flights. No more flights in and out of Mexico to and from Canada. Now, again, shit is getting worse and worse and worse. Now, I want to talk about the governor, right? Pablo Limas. Now, this governor here, listen, they've got Black Hawk helicopters hovering around these cities. They have now mobilized. The Mexican military has now mobilized heavy equipment. Okay, they dispersed them out the streets of Mexico, in these cities to handle the cartel members. It's urban warfare. They're just shooting like the Wild Wild West. I mean, you can't make this shit up. But Governor Pablo Limas, he has confirmed that the military surge, quote unquote, is part of a statewide code red emergency designed to prevent the cartel from following through on its threats as far as entering hotels and homes, right, and of urban warfare, because they know that these guys mean business. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. I mean, is, man, they have issued chilling warnings, and in my opinion, they're going to carry through on these warnings. All over a man who pretty much just what he did as far as bringing the dope into the United States and the rest of the world, okay, and everything that's going on because of death, it blows my mind. And we have people here in the United States that are advocating for, you know, for this country, a government who's turned their back on the Mexican people in favor of these cartel members, and we've got people on the streets of the United States that are saying we aren't stolen. It just blows my mind. Okay, the hypocrisy and the stupidity of some people living in our country. Anyway, shit is getting from bad to worse in Mexico. It's getting dark out there. Listen, nothing happens at night. We all know that, and we'll see what happens. But I got a pretty good feeling that tomorrow morning, what I'm telling you right now, listen, it's going to get worse. Let me know your thoughts and opinions. Please like, follow, and share. Be blessed. Ciao for now.
Yeah, so that was a bit of a longer video, but I thought he was absolutely fantastic in the way that he broke everything down, including the, you know, implications of this. The tacos are still worth the risk, people say. I'm sure. Look, all the love to Mexico, but, like, God forbid we ever become Mexico. I love Mexico as a neighbor. Don't want to live there. In fact, infuriated that I'm being made to live there. I didn't move to Mexico, but Mexico is moving to me. I thought that was a pretty thorough breakdown there. And die hard, viva la muerte, when vacation turns to chaos. Yeah, that's kind of what it sounds like. It's the same with the crew during the break. Like, there's always that fantasy or whatever, where, like, you go into a movie and then you come out of the movie and the whole city's on fire. Like, that must have happened to some people in Puerto Vallarta. Some people went to take a nap. And everything was peaceful and the sky was blue and the sun was shining. And then they woke up to Black Hawk helicopters and the city on fire. And it's just a reminder of how easily these trappings of civilization can quite literally go up in flames. But we'll move on. I have a lot of other stuff to talk about. I did find quickly here. We'll move on to what's happening in the political realm and the fallout from the Tucker Carlson Mike Huckabee interview. That may have saved the world. That interview may have saved the world by stopping World War III. We'll get to that. We're also going to get to a lot about the UK grooming scandal. Some very disturbing information has come out about that. So I'll get to that later this hour. And then we'll be joined by Rex Jones in the third hour. And we'll take your calls and cover a lot more breaking news. But this post has gone viral, and I think it's brilliant. I think it sums up what I've been trying to say about this young woman, Alyssa, I think her name is Alyssa Liu, the figure skater that the left is trying to claim as their own. But it's not going to work. But it's not going to work because she's too joyful and happy and successful to ever truly be on the left. This is from a Reddit account. It says, true unpopular opinion. So there's a subreddit called Unpopular Opinion. We were supposed to post things that wouldn't get voted up in other subreddits, but they can't resist. They can't resist the hive mind. And so now there's a true unpopular opinion where things can get posted and despite the Reddit moderators disagreeing. So it says this. This Alyssa Liu discourse perfectly captures what's wrong with modern progressivism. For anyone that didn't know, Alyssa Liu won gold in U.S. figure skating. She has received overwhelming praise from virtually everybody for her skating. On X, a lot of right-leaning people and pages have also praised her for being the archetypal immigrant success story. Since her dad came here from China to become a lawyer, and now she's a world champion athlete, as well as just being generally happy that an American won gold and is feeling patriotic about it. This has been met with scathing mockery from a lot of progressives who are quick to point out she's progressive and woke and likely hates most of what the conservatives, hates most of the conservatives who are praising her. This is the problem with progressives. People on the right are happy to see her succeed. They're happy that her dad came here through the legal immigration process, has contributed and been successful, and now she's done the same thing in turn. They overwhelmingly don't care about her politics, especially because she hasn't used the Olympics as a megaphone to broadcast her political beliefs. She's just done what she was there to do. Obviously, if the situations were reversed, you'd have a completely different reaction. If it came to light that she was a MAGA supporter, progressives would relentlessly bash and shame her. They wouldn't praise or promote her performance, and they'd largely only care about her political views. Anyone with common sense who's been alive for the last decade knows this is true because we've seen it happen over and over again. This is why so many people can't stand modern progressivism. No matter what you do or achieve or what kind of person you are overall, the wrong political views are a complete overriding non-starter. This is not the case for conservatives, which is why progressives are confused and think it's a gotcha to point out that she's a progressive. It's not. None of them care. Watching this play out has, in real time, has been fascinating. It really encapsulates the problems with modern progressivism. Yeah, absolutely. And it's like all of the problems, right? It's the fact that they want to take credit for and, you know, be involved in things that fundamentally they hate, like athletic accomplishment or national pride. This is completely anathema. It's a complete, you know, rejection of everything they believe to embrace anything. But it doesn't matter. They're hypocrites and, you know, they want to take this stuff. The perception that the left hates the MAGA aligned political associations and on ice personas. Oh yeah, no, this literally happened this year. There was I assume this is the person you're talking about, right? She has a boyfriend that is like a MAGA supporter, and so the left hates her. Assistant captains of the hockey team are MAGA people. The Kachucks. Our big MAGA supporters. Hey, guess what? I was celebrating the hockey league championship without even knowing their politics. What a shocking idea that might be. But again, progressives want to take control of these things that actually they hate because they want to just destroy them because their whole worldview is centered around the concept of those people are having fun without me. I want to destroy their fun. That's basically all of progressivism. Those people are succeeding, but they're not giving me part of their success, so I want to destroy their success. So they, you know, it exposes that hypocrisy, that sort of meanness and parasitism, where they don't create anything. Nothing they do draws a big crowd that a bunch of non-progressive people are like, oh, let's go enjoy that and take that over. Like, we never do that because nothing they do is entertaining or fun or attractive in any way. So they don't have to worry about that. They just are constantly glomming onto and trying to take control of what we make, things that people who they hate create. They want it so they can destroy it. But on top of that, It's the mindset of the progressives that is the real underlying problem with everything going on in America, is that they do not have an image for the conservative mind. They cannot fathom what it's like to be a conservative, what we actually believe. And this inability of theirs is so poisonous that we can't even explain it to them, because we do over and over again. Like, we just explain it outright, forthrightly, in a blatant and simple way. Like, here's what we believe. And they just can't even hear it. They don't accept it because their mindset, their worldview is so, what's the word? They're enemies to everybody. They're so antagonistic towards everything, so hateful towards anyone that's not themselves. They cannot imagine that people don't think like them. They really can't. And so it really is, must be like baffling and confusing to them that there's this, I guess, supposedly progressive girl that MAGA, we just don't care and we love her anyway. And like, they really don't understand that. They really do think it's a gotcha that this 20-year-old girl is a liberal. Oh my gosh. So shocking. We don't care. We don't care. What she's not doing is draping a foreign flag over her shoulders, like that goo woman. That's what we care about. Does she have to agree with us on everything? Obviously not. Be nice if she did. She probably will. I mean, the way she's being treated, I mean, likely just because MAGA likes her, progressives will start to hate her, even though she agrees with them. Even though, you know, she should be on their side. You know, if she doesn't come out and denounce MAGA, progressives will denounce her. And so, like, even if she's not MAGA now, she will be. She will be, because she'll see how progressives treat her. And she'll see, you know, how they really feel about somebody who is hardworking and successful, a champion, a genius in their own right. And the left doesn't celebrate these people. The left doesn't uplift and honor these people. And of course, the absurdity of all of it is just taking the actual progressive mindset and applying it would mean that she, I don't know, would have to give her points away, would have to give her gold away, that it's not, you know, her own achievement. I mean, you know, think about all the privileges she has, right? She has white privilege because she's white passing. She has pretty privilege. She has cisgender privilege. I mean, did she even earn this medal? Or is it really just a collection of privileges that she's taking advantage of? I mean, I could be a world-class figure skater too if I was, you know, genetically similar to her. So, like, why should she be celebrated? Why should she be allowed to succeed when other people who don't have her advantages fail? I mean, she had a loving family. Not everybody has a loving family. So why should she get to have a loving family when nobody else does? Why should she get to have a family that can pay for lessons when other families can't pay for lessons? I think all of the lessons should be removed and only, you know, given out to certain people through the government, right? I mean, this is, again, the absurdity. And the Olympics used to be a key stage where this difference between America and everybody else was on display. Because America, especially when we were up against the USSR, this is why the big Miracle on Ice was such a big deal, was because Americans were not professional athletes. The whole like wonderful thing about the Olympics. Yeah, that's what I said about this. While there's drama over leftists trying to claim Melissa Liu as woke, I want to remind you that the Olympics, figure skating and excellence itself, is anathema to their entire worldview. Leftists are not allowed to enjoy the Olympics. If you can open that bottom one, I think I already went over all this, but this is what the Olympics are: nationhood, gendered contest, objective empirical outcomes, peaceful cooperation between sovereign states, honor, physical accomplishments. I'm going to say it again. Leftists are not allowed to enjoy the Olympics. If you vote for Democrat, you're not allowed to celebrate the Olympics. You're not allowed to watch them on TV. You're not allowed to enjoy the celebrations afterwards. You are an enemy of the Olympics, because you're an enemy of humanity. And the Olympics is an expression, possibly our highest expression, of humanity for humanity's sake. Not for profit, not for gain, not because it helps you to you know, crush the will of your enemies, because it's a celebration of the vitality of humanity and the power of the human spirit. So leftists are not allowed to enjoy them.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. It dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. We're going to talk about domestic politics now. As I don't know, it's almost like the Trump administration thought that the Epstein files would be like a storm they could weather. They thought, like most things, this would have a 2-week shelf life online and in the news, and then that would be it. And so they sort of need to not talk about it for 2 weeks till nobody cares anymore. That's not happening. And because they're not treating this at all like they should, it's kind of making everybody go insane. Again, this could be deliberate. This could very much be a part of the psychological manipulation going on. But I don't know. I mean, after all, these people are not, you know, God. Not everything that happens is playing into their hands just like intended. They do have fairly good systems set up so that every problem is presented with their solution. Like, I understand that, but it's like happening in a couple different ways and sort of all over is that you have people going insane about this. Now, again, we've known about this for 20 years and none of this was a surprise to us, but everybody goes through a period of moderate insanity when you learn this stuff for the first time. Because when you really think about it, you really understand how bad this all is and that everybody in power knew about it the whole time and the media knew about it and covered it up and allowed it to happen and were in fact engaged in some of it. And you really get the overwhelming feeling that like the whole world is involved in this truly sickening, sickening activities. It can make you feel insane. And then when you see the government ignore it, like I get it. I get why people are going insane and it's sort of expressing itself in a number of different ways. One of them, I would say, is the apparent assassination attempt from yesterday. Law enforcement killed an unarmed man who was trying to get into Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort. The incident occurred at a time when the U.S. is facing a spike in political violence. In 2024, a gunman's bullet grazed Trump's ear during a campaign rally in Pennsylvania, and a man later convicted of attempted assassination was spotted hiding in the bushes of a Florida golf course with a semi-automatic rifle while Trump was on the course. This man was carrying a shotgun and a fuel can, the U.S. Secret Service said in a statement, adding that he was observed at the resort's North Gate around 1:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Two U.S. Secret Service agents and a Palm Beach County Sheriff's deputy confronted the man and ordered him to drop the two items. Palm Beach County Sheriff Rick Bradshaw said in a press conference on Sunday morning, the man put down the gas can and raised the shotgun to a shooting position, prompting law enforcement to open fire. You know, I kind of wish, this is a Reuters article, I feel like they could have gone a little bit more into the whole this incident follows a rise in political violence thing, because, you know, they only put in two examples, the two assassination attempts against Donald Trump. But there were more of those, first of all. There was also the Charlie Kirk killing last year. That must have slipped their mind a little bit. There are the attacks on the ICE agents that are currently, you know, going through court and being convicted of terroristic activity where, you know, 10 people from an Antifa cell set a fire outside of an ICE facility to draw out the agents in order to shoot at them. You know, I think if they would have kept going with their explanation of political violence, one conclusion would have been inescapable. It's all coming from the left. Oh, it turns out it's all coming from the left, as they routinely and consistently and constantly claim the right wing is violent and try to crack down on the right endlessly, which in reality is only giving fuel to the actually violent people. If the right wing was actually violent, then calling out the right as violent would be good because you'd be clamping down on the violent side. But since the right is not violent, constantly portraying us as the violent side is actually stochastic terrorism, as they put it. Stochastic terrorism, however they say it, is basically inspiring and justifying in the minds of the radical left violence against right wingers. Because then they're not insane terrorists trying to kill or hurt innocent people. No, they're righteous freedom fighters standing up against the Nazis. So literally, I mean, as they misrepresent political violence continuously, what they're actually doing is contributing to the very political violence that they're covering up. And this is all about the Epstein files, apparently. Would-be Mar-a-Lago assassin obsessed with fake allegations linking Trump to Epstein. Oh, Hassan Abi says it's another Trump supporter tried to kill the president yesterday. And it barely made news because that's how common right-wing violence is. No one believes you. You don't believe you. My God. I mean, do I need to explain? Do I really need to? Let me listen up, Hassan. Listen up, Hassan. If he tried to kill Trump, he probably didn't like Trump. You absolute moron. I mean, my God. And he's like, they know they're lying. Everything is a projection. Everything they claim about us is clearly a projection by them. And it just is endless. I'm glad to see his audience is not. Wait, scroll up. Hold on. Somebody was agreeing with him. I want to see the agreement. Here you go. For anyone confused, yes, he was extremely right wing and he was a former MAGA supporter, but he got very fed up with how Trump was dealing with the Epstein files and suspected that he was helping to cover it up and wanting to kill him. So yes, he was a right winger. Does that make you a right winger? Okay. So everybody against Epstein was a right winger now? These freaking people. President Trump's latest would-be assassin has reportedly become obsessed with false claims about Jeffrey Epstein that have been peddled by Democrats and their corporate media allies. Early Sunday morning, an armed man, and this story, by the way, is from SlayNews.com, an armed man who entered the secure perimeter of President Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate in Palm Beach was shot and killed after allegedly pointing a shotgun at a law enforcement officer. The incident occurred around 1:30 a.m. near the north gate of the property. According to U.S. Secret Service and Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office, the suspect unlawfully entered the estate carrying a shotgun and a gas canister. When confronted, two Secret Service and a sheriff's deputy, the individual reportedly set the gas can down and aimed the shotgun. The suspect was announced dead at the scene after authorities returned gunfire or responded to the threat with gunfire. The president and First Lady Melania Trump were in Washington, D.C. at the time of the incident and were not present at Mar-a-Lago. Authorities recovered a shotgun box from the suspect's vehicle and determined the firearm had been purchased while he was traveling from North Carolina. The suspect was identified as Austin Tucker Martin. Family members had reported him missing in North Carolina the day before the shooting. Speaking to TMZ, relatives described Martin as quiet and reserved. He reportedly worked at Pine Needles Lodge and Golf Club and supplemented his income by selling pencil sketches of landscapes and portraits. His cousin, 19-year-old Braden Fields, stated the family is a big Trump supporters, adding, "We are big Trump supporters, all of us, everybody." Fields said Martin generally avoided political discussion and appeared fearful of firearms. Authorities are reportedly examining Martin's recent fixation on the Jeffrey Epstein case as a potential factor in the incident. In the text messages, a coworker dated February 15th, Martin wrote, "I don't know if you've read up on the Epstein files, but evil is real and unmistakable." He also encouraged his coworker to spread what he believed was evidence of a government cover-up, writing, quote, the best people like you and I can do is use what little influence we have. Tell other people about what you hear about the Epstein files and what the government is doing about it. The Justice Department has released more than 3 million files related to the Epstein investigation. The records include emails, flight logs, videos, and a wide range of material. Some political opponents of Trump have pointed to the fact that his name appears in certain documents implying misconduct. However, President Trump has never been charged or formally accused of involvement in Epstein's criminal activities, despite years of investigation and the release of millions of pages of material. And it's just kind of one of these confusing things where it's like, okay, if you were actually, I don't know. So far, I haven't seen any evidence. I'm just trying to think this through, because if you're actually obsessed with the Epstein files, if you're actually like pouring through them endlessly, Donald Trump would not be the person that you'd be going after unless he was upset about the fact that it was, you know, it's being withheld and censored, in which case it is Trump doing that. Not that's a valid reason to attack him or anything, but I don't understand how you would be obsessed with the Epstein files. If you're actually looking at them and actually reading them, you would not be going after Donald Trump. Unless you're concerned about the cover-up, but he released 3 million of the files that have all the information that you're going on, so that doesn't make any sense, actually. President Trump and Jeffrey Epstein were social acquaintances in the 90s. Their relationship deteriorated in 2004, and Epstein was subsequently banned from Mar-a-Lago. The ban reportedly followed allegations that Epstein had engaged in inappropriate conduct involving minors, including an incident in which he allegedly pressured an 18-year-old Mar-a-Lago spa worker and harassed the teenage daughter in front of another club member. After a complaint from the girl's father, Trump revoked Epstein's access to the property. Epstein later expressed hostility towards Trump in emails and recordings from 2017 to 19, calling him a horrible human being who was evil beyond belief and borderline insane. In 2006, after allegations that Epstein became against Epstein became public, Trump contacted the Palm Beach Police Department regarding Epstein's activities. As Slate News reported, Trump told police that he was concerned about Epstein's behavior around young girls and rumors he'd heard about the financier. Trump described Epstein as disgusting and urged police to look into Ghislaine Maxwell, who he said was evil. That's the thing. It's like you're so obsessed with the evil of Jeffrey Epstein that you want to go kill one of his enemies. That doesn't even make sense. But I guess that's the view of the left. Or I guess a diehard right winger, according to the idiots on X. But let's go to clip 46 here, because this is Donald Trump sort of responding to the fact that a lot of his, you know, base and most loyal supporters are unhappy with the current job he's doing. And just once again, this video makes me think that he is, despite all evidence to the contrary, he's being kept away from information. He is not being told the truth about what's going on. Let's watch.
Tom Holman, Kristi Noem, our people, they've been incredible, the job they've done. And they take nothing but abuse, but, you know, they're sort of pretty hardened to that, I think, because they know they're doing the right thing. It just amazes me that there's not more support out there. It's just, we actually have a silent support. I think it's a silent, I think it's a, well, that's how I won. I got probably 85 million votes. They say 78 million, 79 million. They cheated in this election, too. It was just too big to rig.
Yeah, that's not true, Trump. I'm sorry to tell you this. There was a sizable amount of silent support during the presidential campaign. But now, the people who silently supported you are now very loudly condemning you. So it's not that they're just like quietly supporting you. No, we're like very angry at what a failure the second administration has been and will continue to be with statements like this. Statements that once again reiterate the fact that you don't know what's going on. That Trump has no idea how people feel about the job he's doing. And he's got to be surrounded by sycophants that are telling him that this is business as usual. It's the left being loud and obnoxious, but the right wingers still, you know, have his complete confidence and are going to come out to vote for him. Now, they voted for you while you were president because first of all, you said you'd do a bunch of stuff that you haven't done yet. And because everybody votes for president, but the midterms is a game of getting out the vote. And people aren't exactly happy about what you've done and aren't eager to, you know, give you backup, especially when you're endorsing people like Greg Abbott. When you're endorsing some of the senators and congressmen that he's been endorsing, like they're just absolutely terrible endorsements that are awful. And yeah, from the Hill, 68% of respondents say Trump is focused on the wrong problems. Which maybe that's the whole issue, is Trump is like, I'm having all of this success. And we're like, we don't care. It's not us that you're helping. Why would we care that you're having success against, I don't know, Venezuela? Why would we care that you're having success against Iran, which you aren't even? But if you were, why would we care? You bombed Iran. Whoop-de-freaking-do. What did that do for us? They're backing down in Minnesota. They're backing off mass deportations. They are still trying to get war with Iran going. Well, meanwhile, Mexico, the country to our immediate south, seems to be embroiled in a takeover by criminal gangs. And it'd be kind of nice to have our military supporting our immediate neighbors rather than Israel 10,000 miles away. And again, it's just obvious that that's the central contention of the Trump administration, the MAGA movement. It has been for the last 3 years at least, as any decent, reasonable people in the Republican Party are sickened by the behavior of Israel over the last couple of years and are sickened even more by the slavish devotion that the Trump administration shows to these evil, conniving scumbags. That hard to understand? Like, is nobody explaining that to him? really sucks. It really does. Now, apparently, Tucker Carlson has been summoned to the White House for a dressing down by Donald Trump. At least that's the assumption. From the Daily Beast, Trump summoned to break up vicious MAGA fight. Hardline MAGA mouthpiece. Let me fix this for them here. Sorry, let me edit your activity, Daily Beast. Hardline Israel First mouthpiece Laura Loomer has roped the White House into her feud with Tucker Carlson, demanding that the president personally step in and admonish the former Fox News host. Loomer has launched attack after attack at Carlson since his heated interview on Friday with U.S. Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee. The two-hour showdown threw gasoline on the simmering feud between different wings of the MAGA movement, with Carlson drawing the ire of Loomer and her supporters by criticizing U.S. ties with Israel. In a flurry of posts on social media Monday, Loomer frantically called on Trump to condemn Carlson, once one of his biggest cheerleaders, and urged Attorney General Pam Bondi to go after him for being, as she puts it, a national security threat. So you have diehard Zionist MAGA infiltrator Laura Loomer demanding that Trump's DOJ go after Tucker Carlson as a criminal or a terrorist, a threat to national security. Why? Because he asked Mike Huckabee questions and let him answer. So he actually put the ambassador to Israel, put questions to him that were not easy to answer. And the way Mike Huckabee answered, it's actually terrible. It was actually so bad. His answers might have been so ridiculous that it stopped World War III, believe it or not. I'm not even exaggerating. So apparently Trump's plans for military action on Iran could have been complicated by Ambassador Huckabee's implied endorsement of greater Israel. So this is from a Washington Post or New York Times article. It says, further complicating any final decisions on military strikes, Arab leaders have been calling counterparts in Washington to complain about comments from Mike Huckabee, the U.S. ambassador to Israel. In an interview with Tucker Carlson, the conservative commentator that aired on Friday, Mr. Huckabee said Israel had a right to much of the Middle East, outraging Arab diplomats in countries that the United States is hoping will support, or at least not openly oppose, an American attack on Iran. And that includes Saudi Arabia saying, yeah, we're not going to actually let you attack Iran from our state anymore. So if they were planning on, you know, having bases inside areas controlled by Saudi Arabia, they'd be launching attacks on. That wasn't possible after Mike Huckabee did more than this little snippet says. He didn't say that Israel had a right to much of the Middle East. He said he would put no barriers to them conquering whatever they wanted. And he basically said, all of the Middle East is theirs by divine right. And it's just a matter of killing the people that are, you know, occupying the place now. Which I can understand why the people who live there and run those countries wouldn't be so happy with the ambassador to America basically giving Israel the green light to kill or conquer all of them. It's less of a, it's like, what a bizarre situation. It wasn't like a faux pas. It wasn't like a diplomatic accident. It was just like the genuine beliefs of the American leadership had never been expressed in public, had never been questioned, had never been asked about. And so when actually put on the spot and actually when the ambassador to Israel expresses what his actual beliefs are and what the American government actually has planned, the Arab governments are like, what the hell? We're not going to stand for this. Like, this is so strange. I guess you can call it a diplomatic faux pas. You could call it a diplomatic, you know, accident. I don't know what you call it, but no, it's just the truth. New York Times details succession plan for Iran. Iran views U.S. strikes as inevitable and imminent. U.S. officials say U.S. is willing to hold another round of talks Friday if Iran submits proposals soon. Iran is basically going to the mattresses. If they don't look like they are planning to negotiate at all, and it's not a surprise because the negotiations are rigged completely against them. Why would they? Why would they engage in negotiations with a country so aligned to Israel, so willing to kill negotiators or just lie blatantly? Obviously, they're not going to do that. And so what they're doing now, what the Iranian leadership is now doing, is giving orders to all of their soldiers to continue to fight on regardless of communication. So this was a lesson they learned from the Iraq war during the Iraq war by taking out some of the you know, main nodes of the Iraqi military. They were able to cut off communications, and yet a lot of the, battalions of the Iraqi military not getting orders, basically just surrendering because they didn't know what the hell else to do. And so Iran is, taking measures against that inevitability by basically giving orders to all of their people, you fight to the end, like Japan in World War II. So it doesn't even matter if we take out the leadership. It doesn't even matter if we, you know, flatten their capital. They've got 90 million people, an incredibly mountainous region that we're not going to conquer in the next 10 years, no matter how much energy and resources we put towards it. And we don't even have energy or resources to put it towards it in the first place. According to the people who know, like this, U.S. military chief said to urge Trump to exercise caution on any action against Iran. U.S. military chief has reportedly warned U.S. President Donald Trump that an extended military campaign against Iran could have significant negative effects on the U.S. and its military preparedness. According to the Wall Street Journal, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dan Kane, has warned Trump that an extended conflict, quote, could incur significant cost to U.S. forces and munitions stockpiles. The newspaper reports that concerns have also been voiced that if the U.S. uses up large amounts of air defense munitions and other items that are in limited supply, it will curtail its ability to counter China in any future conflict. The Axios news site first reported earlier today about Kane's airing of concerns to Trump, who is said to still be weighing his options ahead of schedule with Tehran on Thursday in Geneva. The United States is holding meetings in Geneva with Russian and Chinese delegations about nuclear weapons after the final treaty restricting Washington and Moscow's nuclear deployment expired, a U.S. official said. So, again, Trump is confused for some reason about why his support is collapsing. He does not seem to understand why his supposed successes aren't translating into widespread support. I have the feeling that's because he's surrounded by, I guess in a word, you could say Laura Loomer types. If you're wondering what the hell's going on and what the hell is wrong with the Trump administration, just look at Laura Loomer and imagine 12 of her surrounding Donald Trump. Yeah. No wonder he doesn't know what the hell's going on. He doesn't know who to trust. He's surrounded by a bunch of criminals and liars like Howard Lutnick and Laura Loomer for that matter. Laura Loomer says, everybody needs to be pressuring the White House to issue a statement condemning Tucker Carlson this week. Don't you love how they just say things like that? There's like commands. Everybody needs to be pressuring the White House to issue a statement. Lady, I'll tell you what you need. I'm gonna tell you what you need. You need to go away forever. His efforts to derail the GOP and his nonstop sabotage of Donald Trump must end. Really, because if he'd listened to Tucker Carlson, he wouldn't be in the situation he's in now. His support is collapsing because he keeps listening to Laura Loomer and people like her. Trump's support is declining in exact proportion to the amount of favors he does to Laura Loomer and her friends and her actual country of loyalty. He thinks he can just walk into the White House like he owns the place because his son works there. She's like so seething and jealous. Everyone with moral clarity needs to pressure the White House and end this insanity once and for all. President Trump must condemn Tucker Carlson. Enough is enough. And she's like, would you leave him alone, you bitch? Would you leave Donald Trump alone? My God, it literally everything you say to him is the opposite of what he needs to hear. And she's like, I think he just wants to shut these people up, so he does whatever they say.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
This is how I like to go about the place. Yes.
I think the police were interested a little bit more in your statement that Muslims needed to find a solution. I understand you're a humorous drunk at the moment, and I'm going to offend you by saying that, but your statements are beyond just causing frivolous offence, aren't they? They're to mask an extremely nefarious and actually violent agenda.
They're to mask, say that again, they're to mask an extremely nefarious and violent agenda. Would you say calling myself a spaz is a violent agenda? Pardon? What did you say?
I said you called for a final solution against Muslims.
That's not true either. I called for a final solution to Islamist terror in this country. And there are things that you might not want to hear, but those things are absolutely true. Sir Jim Ratcliffe, what he said was completely right. And to the point of our individual over here who said, why not refute the point? Why not go to the point instead of just asking people to apologize? Apologizing doesn't deal with the facts of the matter, and it's never the facts that people go to. Yes?
Since you were talking about your right to offend...
Yes.
Would it be okay with you if I could use my right to offend you?
Of course, go for it.
I have to say...
Could you do less hand wiggling and do the talking? Okay. So, okay. No.
Order, please. Order. Order. Thank you. We can let the speaker continue.
I don't think that went so well for you. But I encourage points of order from the floor, and I don't want to humiliate you further than you've already humiliated yourself. So I think it's important that I move on. So if we were to measure offence, and then we find someone, the weakest person, to measure how much is permissible, some of you come pre-programmed with your offence already written into you. Someone in here, some pro-Palestine, pro-LGBTQ, pro-bisexual, queer, curious ally with a nut allergy is pre-programmed and probably freaking gluten-free as well, is pre-programmed to be offended. And that is precisely the issue. Why are we not... No, Teddy. Why are we not... I'll see you after. Why are we not raising people strong? Why are we not challenging people and offending them to build them strong? When I went through the Royal Military Academy, Sandhurst, the point is that your sinews are tested and made strong by being tested. And the reason that people are offended, in truth, is because you touch upon something that hurts them. And it hurts them because when we don't know ourselves well, we can be offended because we are not strong enough. I urge you, good young people of the Cambridge Union, do allow yourself to be offended. Do know yourself, because when you know yourself, you can rise above it. And I urge you to let your life be full of all the feelings, all the dirty lot of it, including the ability to feel what it's like to be offended. My darlings, we will vote in support of this motion. This House defends the right Oh, darling, don't be a twat again. Do it once. This House supports the right to cause offence. Am I allowed? Yes, I'm allowed. Go.
I have just have a question regarding why do you consider someone feeling their emotions to be a weakness necessarily? Because it's not about the fact that people feel their emotions.
And agreed.
100%. Why do you phrase it in a manner that just seems like whoever feels any sort of emotion is weak?
Yeah. No, I agree with you entirely, actually. I think the ability to feel the emotion of being offended is so important in order to be able to understand why it upsets you, in order to be able to recover from it. And I speak this as someone who has been offended probably more than most. I was tricked into receiving an award.
All right, folks, that was Katie Hopkins doing what she does best, really sticking it to leftist idiots. I love that woman. Rex Jones in studio with me. Stay tuned, 90 seconds.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexShowStore.com.
No spin, no surrender. This is Harrison Smith on the War Room with live streams firing on X and band.video.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Third hour is on with Rex Jones in studio with
yes.
me. Make sure to go to shroomforce.com to support Rex as well as his Instagram at Go Shroom Force. Go Shroom Force.
I really appreciate that, Harrison. What a chill intro.
Of course.
What a chill intro to the show. Thank you for
having me. I know. That jam was so good. Rex and I were just sort of bobbing our heads to it. Didn't even want to start talking. Lots of crazy stuff going on these days, man. What's on your radar? You just had a big show with Casey Putsch, who's running for governor of Ohio.
Yes.
You're hosting a lot of alternative politicians these days, including James Fishback. And, I mean, these people have to be the key out of the mess, right? We got to get people who are actually decent human beings and Americans elected because right now we're being run by a bunch of scumbags.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I like seeing kind of the independent streak that's really grown and blossomed since 2016 within the Republican Party, whatever you want to call it. It's kind of time to leave the GOP and the Democrats behind and look for something else. But of course, people are still going to run in the two-party system, and these more independent-leaning candidates like a Fishback, like a Putsch, like an Aaron Baker who's running against Randy Fine. We've also had him on the show. It's very fun and very cool to be able to talk to those people and actually, you know, share a platform with them. So very, very cool.
Yeah, and they're good, man, and they're doing, you know, major damage to the incumbents or the people that the Republicans choose.
Right.
And they all choose the worst people. I mean, all the endorsements. There was a big scandal over the weekend where TPUSA endorsed Greg Abbott and Donald
right.
Trump endorsed Greg Abbott. Well, meanwhile, you have Doc Chambers running
yeah.
who's just so much better in every way. Greg Abbott has been a total failure, and now he's running for this unprecedented fourth term as governor. Nobody's, you know, served as governor that long. He thinks he's worthy of the honor, and it's like you've got Doc Chambers running, who should be president of Texas as an independent nation, as far as I'm concerned. But governor's
right.
a good start. What is wrong with D.C.? What is wrong with the GOP? Why do they get
I think it's what's wrong with the establishment candidates. I said this last night on the Gray Area show I do with Tim Tompkins on our Sunday broadcast. They want people that are just empty suits. I'm like, what does that mean? It's you wear the uniform. It doesn't matter who you are necessarily. You're a part of the Borg. You're a part of the system. You're a good unit. right? You're a production line, finished product in the political system of Washington DC. And ultimately these independent or Republican leaning, but really independent streak candidates like a Fishback, like a Putsch, like a Aaron Baker, they come out of left field because they actually sound like a human being. Right. They're meeting with people on the ground. They're actually doing grassroots outreach. They don't have the $40 million that Byron gets or the hundreds of millions that Vivek has by nature. It's just them trying to make a difference. And if you look at Fishback specifically, he's close to within striking distance. You know, that's still very far away, but we're 6 months out.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of time.
And he's again doing major damage to the Republican candidate because he just represents such an obvious comparison where you just go,
well, it's a better option, right? It's what we thought we were getting when we voted for Trump, right? It's an end to the wars. It's domestic sovereignty. It's taking care of our own above other people. And if you run on that going forward into the future, especially with the pro-war stuff coming out of the Republican Party, especially after the, you know, kind of failed economic recovery that we've had, you're going to win if you promise real solutions.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, I'm MAGA, vote for me. Isn't that wonderful? It's like, you know, convicted murderer or something, like puppy strangler. I'm MAGA, vote for me. It's like, well, he's got the endorsement.
Right. Well, and it's interesting because both Casey Putsch and Fishback and some of these others, but these two guys stand out in my mind
right.
as being unapologetic, but in a way that works. Because a lot of people, they see that Trump says bombastic things, then refuses right. to apologize, and they kind of try to take that tack, and it doesn't work for them because it's not natural for them. I think even DeSantis is kind of one of these characters.
I think it's an issue of steak and sizzle, right? Where like the complete package is both things, right? Like you want to have the nice chunk of meat, but you also want it to be cooked well. You want the steam and the smoke off the fajita plate coming at you, right?
Right.
With Trump, it's kind of become all sizzle.
Right.
Right. There isn't a lot of meat on the
meat
bone.
There, yeah.
And some of these candidates who I really like and other ones we're going to have on the show, I would love it if they won. But at the same time, even if you got a ton of the steak, you still need the sizzle. That's why I really like Fishback.
Yeah.
And Putsch as well. They have that X factor you need to win.
Well, and it's just stuff like, you know, Casey Putsch keeps going viral because the old smears aren't working anymore. And he'll be doing an interview and the interviewer
right.
will go, you've been called a white nationalist. How do you respond to that? And
right.
he goes, well, I'm white and I'm a nationalist. What's wrong with that? And, you know, it's just like, well, I'm just not going to apologize for things that you're pushing on me, right? I'm calling you this and I'll apologize. And it's like, no,
well,
I'm not
going
to
do that. We left that behind in 2018. We rejected that because we saw where that led. Ultimately, it led to the COVID censorship and everyone being deplatformed. So we want to live in a world now where I see David Hogg making his like anti-gun push again. It's like, bro, everybody lived through the summer of love. Everyone lived through COVID. We know why we need guns now.
Yeah.
Right. So it's very weird. And you see a lot of this, you know, the outdated ethos of kind of like, you know, they're trying to copy a 2016 Trump run, but it's really, you know, a Mitt Romney run or mm-hmm. a John McCain run. Even if you have the colors and the symbols, the substance has to be there or it doesn't work. And you talk about Casey Putsch, you talk about Fishback, talk about all these other people. They've been successful in other fields and they come into that. Even Vivek.
Yeah.
No, even Vivek has actually done something. So, you know, I like to see competition between people that have achieved things
yeah.
personally.
Same here. And again, it's just if there is going to be a political solution, it's only going to come with the wholesale, holistic revamp of the GOP. Like
that's right.
Cleaning the slate and bringing in a bunch of new people. Because, again, we are stuck in this two-party duopoly. And it's
two wings on the same bird, man.
I mean,
it's crazy, bro, but it's true. That's the reality of the situation.
Yeah, so how do we deal with that moving forward? Because at the same time, because I always see people going, if you still think it's left versus right, you don't know what the hell's going on. But it's like, guys, if you think left and right is not a real thing, what the hell are you talking about? I mean, who's teaching our children to be trans? Like, is it? No, it's the left. It's the left wing of American, you know,
citizens. That's true, so but who wants the children to go die? It seems like the pro-war, pro-Iran conflict on the right. And like, I saw you covering it a little bit, not to interrupt here, but you talk about the conflict where you have actual military leaders and military professionals saying, sir, please don't do this. And they got Laura Loomer being like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's probably going to go with the second option. So I view it as a betrayal on both sides, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and what is your take on that? Yeah, because it's the same thing of Laura Loomer going, Trump needs to denounce Tucker Carlson because he interviewed Mike Huckabee. And it's just like, Why is this the biggest sticking point ever? Why can we, Trump denies
I find it interesting that people that read affiliate codes for money are in charge of our domestic or foreign war policy.
Right.
Okay. I find that to be quite shocking. You could say, oh, well, y'all are talking about war and conflict too. Yeah, we want to end it. We don't want it to be perpetuated. It's not our business model, right?
Right.
So why do these people, you know, whether it's a misfit patriot or a Laura Loomer or whatever, why do they go out there and feel comfortable making money off of death?
Right.
This is my critique, right? Is because when you're backing a war, when you're backing a conflict, even when you're saying, we have to do it, we have to save the world from this evil theocratic regime, well, you're a hypocrite because you also support another theocratic regime that's killing people.
Yep.
So we don't get to pick and choose. How about as Americans, we can just say, it's enough already. We apologize. We're out. We don't want to bomb you anymore. And I feel that's a very simple message. And to be like, to be anti that, you have to either say you're weak for saying that you don't want brave Americans to go do what needs to be done. And it's like that narrative has been busted for 30 years. It's been busted since the early 90s, since the Gulf War. Right? Like it's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. On the other end, you say, oh, you don't think we could do it? It's like, yeah, we probably could do it. Wouldn't it be better not to spend billions of dollars though? Maybe even if we give it to all the people here and to give, buy honey buns and they all get fat.
Wouldn't that be better?
Huh? I'm sorry. I'm okay with Wall-E people if it means that millions of people aren't going to die in nuclear hellfire. I think that's reasonable.
But yeah.
Go ahead.
No, but there is no argument for war with Iran. Like, they're not even making one. They're not even saying, like, we have to. I mean,
No. They can't have a nuclear weapon. Okay, they're not going to make a nuclear weapon. They have a fatwa against it. They consider it to be a religious crime. Okay, well, they can't enrich uranium. Okay, well, they say they're okay with Russia or China doing it. Okay, well, they can't have ballistic missiles that can reach Israel. Where does it stop? Where does it stop exactly? And in order to protect Israel's security interests in the region, which we say are our security interests, we have to go in there and carpet bomb the place because they won't give up their means to defend themselves.
It's completely absurd. And the latest, I don't think I grabbed it, but it was Witkoff, I think.
Oh yeah.
Saying, you know, we have to, you know, Iran cannot have industrial ballistic missile capabilities or something. And it's like, they're using the same phrase as nuclear weapons, but they just replace nuclear weapons with some other phrase.
They know it's the big words. People don't know what they mean. That's the goal. You know, it's a scary sounding thing. It looks like a YouTube short. I better vote to bomb the kid.
Yeah, basically that's it. It's basically just that they can't be allowed to have weapons. They can't be allowed to have anything to defend themselves. And it's just absurd. And they're starting negotiations on that point. They're saying to start, first you have to agree to completely disarm yourself, make yourself totally vulnerable to attack from us. Then we'll talk. And it's like, obviously they're not going to fall for that. And the last 2 years has been filled with fake negotiations where we end up bombing the negotiators. We have, because we keep doing what Israel says, we're allowing Israel to act out of hand and bomb negotiators and stuff. We have no leverage whatsoever. We have no trust. We are screwed. All we can do now is either back down and look like fools or attack and start World War III.
Well, let's not forget the IAEA inspectors that went into Iran and were cooperating with them. The Iranians were working with them. And, oh, they give the Israelis and the Americans the military intelligence on where to bomb. Now, how does that work for long-term trust and relationships? I don't care. Ooh, we ganked them. We got them. We shivved them in the throat. Isn't that cool? Okay. Are you ready to shiv the next, you know, 20 nations in the throat, too? It's just, I'm tired of my country looking like a fool on the world stage, looking like an arrogant fool on the world stage. Got to be honest with you here. I want real peace through strength, which is an end to the wars, an end to the foreign conflicts. And I thought that's what I voted for. And I'm very, very, very tired of being told I'm a panican, I'm a black pillar, I'm an XYZ, when I just want promises made, promises kept. You said you would not do this. I have to believe the only reason you haven't done it yet, President Trump, is because you know it's lights out for your entire career and legacy if you do this. Because let's not forget how many times you called out Obama, insulted his masculinity, all of it, saying that he would attack Iran because he needed to prove that he was tough. What's being done to you right now, Mr. President?
Wow, yeah.
That's my commentary.
No, you're
pisses me off, dude. Sorry.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, again, they're talking about starting World War III. Like, it is so unbelievably
insane.
Like, it's a joke.
Like, it's just something that they're allowed to do.
And that they have to do. And that, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's a good idea or not. It just has to happen.
It would be one thing, honestly, if Kamala was doing this and people voted for Kamala and she said she wanted to have the most lethal military, blah, blah, blah. If she wanted to do it, we could just call it out as outright evil. But because it's Trump doing it, and all the while saying he's pro-peace, pro-negotiation, you still have people trying to negotiate with themselves like a battered wife syndrome.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like maybe he'll stop hitting me. Maybe we'll figure it out. All you have to do, Trump, to really regain a lot of the support that you lost is to take those ships back home and say, we're not doing this. We're going to prioritize our own citizens. A lot of people would come back on board.
And it's like, what is the worst possible outcome from that?
Right.
Nothing. Like, well, what is the bad thing that's going to happen? Iran is going to be capable of defending itself. Okay. And like, what is the worst case scenario?
Well, there is a nation in the Middle East that has nuclear weapons and brags about it and has used them to threaten in the past.
And
so.
Is not, you know, in any agreement and doesn't, you know, acknowledge its weapons stash anyway. So yeah, we should really be allied with Iran if you want my take on the whole thing.
I think we should be allied with Russia. And I don't think that's a crazy thing to say at all. And everyone goes, oh, you're a Putin puppet. You're a Putin apologist. Huh? Is that what you are, wise guy? And I'm like, no. Very clearly, no. Why are we giving $300 billion to Ukraine? Why are we seizing Russian assets when the Russians could be our energy partner and we wouldn't need China? We could ice them out and block them out. But instead of doing that, we've pushed Russia and China together with Iran.
Yeah.
It's very simple. It's like, well, these people are bad. These people are evil. Why? Because we say so? Because we want to steal their resources? How about everybody's bad? Okay? Like, this is like the famous Trump clip of him saying, so you think we're so innocent.
Right.
Right? And you know what I'm talking about there.
Well, and then you look at who we actually are allies with in the Middle East, and they're worse than Iran. I mean, I'd take Iran over Saudi Arabia any day of the week.
Look at the Syria guy, Al-Julani. Al-Shara, he's changed his name to hide his ISIS past.
Right. That's a perfect example. Yeah, was that a better, you know, trade-off? Now we don't have Bashar al-Assad there, but the Syrian army is now massacring minorities, and which was always going to be the outcome. And that's the thing to understand, is that it's on purpose. Well, people are not stupid. They know exactly what they're doing.
Very true. And who's sheltering the Christians in Syria at the last remaining, you know, naval military base off of the coast? It's the Russians. They've taken in the Alawites. They've taken in the Shia Muslims the Sunnis don't like, and they've taken in the Christians. And you just have to look at it. I mean, we should be at World War III already. I mean, we've been beating the drum of what's been coming for the past year or two. And people almost look at people like us or Judge Napolitano or others as like, you're crazy. You're saying all these bad things are going to happen. Nothing ever happens. Come on. Come on. If these other countries acted like the U.S. acts, we would all be dead.
Yeah.
We would all be dead already. And we'd be dead under Biden way before Trump. Okay, but there's been a lot of grace that's been given, and we just continue to slap it away. I have to believe that the American people want to choose peace and prosperity over other things, and like over war and death, it's not a contest at all.
Yeah, and of course, it's not a surprise that the other countries in the Middle East are pissed off at Mike Huckabee, the ambassador to Israel from America, coming out and going, yeah, you know, I don't really care what Israel
prominent
wants to do.
Israeli magician and musician.
Yeah, exactly. And he basically says, yeah, there's no limits to what they can do. They have a divine right to whatever they lay their eyes on. The whole of the Middle East is theirs, and you're just occupying it. And it's and you're depending on these other states for support. It's insane. And now they're saying Turkey is the new Iran. So, they haven't even taken out Iran. Yes. They're already promising the endless war.
Well, I want to read this tweet here. So apparently Trump's plan for military action on Iran has been complicated by Huckabee's implied endorsement of greater Israel, further complicating any final decision on military strikes. Arab leaders have been calling counterparts in Washington to complain about the comments from Mike Huckabee. The U.S. ambassador to Israel. In an interview with Tucker Carlson, the conservative commentator that aired Friday, Huckabee said Israel had a right to much, I think he said all, basically, of the Middle East, outraging Arab diplomats in countries that the United States is hoping will support or at least not openly oppose an American attack on Iran. I mean, just like, how much disrespect do we want to give people? I know we can slap people around. We got the military. We got the brand deals, all the countries, whatever. There's a limit to the disrespect. And there's that old saying about a straw and it breaking a camel's back. maybe the next baseline performance where he's got the guitar out and he's dropping a sick baseline, maybe that's too much. Maybe MBS calls Trump and is like, we cannot do this anymore, brother. we have to let this go. We cannot do it anymore. So
I mean, but it's really bizarre that America at this point is controlled by these religious fanatics, whether they're yes. they're Jewish or evangelical Christians,
yes.
that are basing, and it's been this way for a while. I mean, I did a big report years ago about how in like 2003, George Bush was talking to, I think it was Sarkozy, the French president, and he's talking about Gog and Magog and the Battle of Armageddon. And the French president is like, I need a biblical scholar to explain what the hell the president of the United States is talking about, because our leadership is talking in this like, you know, mystic, like Old Testament prophecy stuff. And they're like, what the hell? We're trying to stop a war here, and you're talking about prophecies that are being fulfilled in the, and it's like, you can believe that stuff. It shouldn't be a guiding force of our foreign policy. Dude, that's insane.
Dude, they want to blow up that mosque and they want to build that third temple, and they have to have the entirely pure 100% red-haired red heifer, and they got to kill like three of them,
yep.
I think. And then they do some sort of sacred ritual. There's even a guy, I think it was Adam King, going around with the ashes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, this shouldn't have any place in our society, in our governing policy, in anything. Like, whatever this is, it's the same exact spirit of, like, a girl doing astrology with crystals. No thank you. All right? Verboten, demonic, enough. It's enough already.
Yeah, but then starting wars off of that.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's completely insane, and of course...
Well, and that's... I'm sorry to step on your point there. This is what I was going to say. They want to tell us that... Iran, they make the woman wear the burqa, or they beat her with the club and all that, and she can't be a doctor. They want to say that's theocracy, evil, we have to invade, they murder the protester, blah, blah, blah. Biblical genocide. Bibi Netanyahu declared the Palestinians Amalek and then started systematically killing all of them and bombing them and dropping bombs on their heads. And they say, 30,000 protesters killed in Iran. And they say, oh, it was like 80,000 in Gaza, but 80% Hamas. And then you look at an aerial photo of Gaza. And it doesn't exist anymore. It looks like Bikini Atoll
yep.
after they dropped the freaking nuke on it, man. So you want to tell me that I have to commit to American blood and treasure, American lives being lost in Iran because it's a theocracy, quote unquote, but I have to pay into and support another theocracy committing a genocide in the Middle East. Sorry. Not doing it. I don't care how much money they gave you. I don't care how nice the plane rides are, how nice the PR propaganda teams are. Enough already, all right? It doesn't matter if you get Emily Saves America or Xavier DeRousseau up there posing with the fake food. No one's buying it. Like, look at this. They want to say this is like a targeted strike. And that's like when I defecate all over my toilet, you know, and say, oh, you know, it's a targeted strike. No, you're shitting on us. Sorry, I didn't. And Mike, my dad, it's my apologies. We got to blurp that out. I'll shut up. Sorry, Harrison, my bad.
No, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. I was just looking. I've got a story somewhere around here. I mean,
sorry.
As of last week, there was a big Lancet story about the real number of people who had died during the genocide of Gaza.
There's a lot of numbers floating around. I like to just stick at the lowball numbers because even they're crazy, but I think more truth will come out.
So this is the latest, and you know, it turns out the Hamas controlled Gaza, you know, health ministry underplayed the number of dead. A new study in The Lancet is by far the most rigorous and serious done yet into the number of casualties in Gaza. Here's why it gives you the best indication of the real numbers. One, it used face-to-face interviews with 2,000 households and achieved a 97.2% response rate, providing a rare validation of official figures while accounting for underreporting due to hospital collapses. So basically, it took into account the fact that, like, there's no official way to even be counting all of the dead. So it says, the study's estimate of around 35% undercount aligns with a previous independent capture-recapture model published in early 2025. This methodology, convergence, gives experts higher confidence in the 75,000-plus figure. That means we need to take these figures very seriously. What they show is that there were 75,200 violent deaths between October 7, 2023 and January 5, 2025 alone. So it's not even including the last year of war. Roughly 56% of those killed were women, children, or elderly individuals. Projected out... Forward, the discrepancy between those numbers and the Ministry of Health numbers would suggest well over 100,000 violent deaths. The number of indirect deaths could well be over 200,000. That's a genocide unfolding with numbers still getting higher every day.
Well, it makes sense, right? Because you got a city of 2 million people and it's like a little bit bigger than Austin, I think. Not sure how many square miles it is, but it's around the same size. And you drop munitions on it for years straight. And like, what else is going to happen? Ultimately, it's that example Ezra Levant gave on the show. And he says, well, Alex, if someone broke in your house and killed your child, would you not go to their house? And if they had their kid and were using it as a human shield, wouldn't you shoot through their kid to kill the person? Answer is absolutely not. We believe in God. Absolutely not. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe every human life is sacred. And we have to do what we can to minimize murder. It's not an outrageous thing to go, we have to have the dead body amount go down. Okay, it's not a crazy thing to want. It's called being a human being. It's called not wanting people to die. And if you get to a point where you're some sort of politician, maybe you've seen things on TV your whole life, you don't really care. If you get to a point where you're like, 50,000 kids, women, children, who cares? You know, we got the terrorists, right? I think you should go to jail. That's my opinion. Sorry.
I agree. Criminal. We'll be right back with more, folks. Don't go anywhere. Unless you want to go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us. We'll tell you about that on the other side. Rex Jones in studio. One more segment. Stay tuned.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped. With the sea moss, because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it. And it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's for good, me. Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
Are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yeah.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is, no, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. In studio with me, the one and only Rex Jones. Go to shroomforce.com or on Instagram at GoShroomForce. You can also follow Rex on X at Real at...
Yeah, if we could get the gray area, if we get the gray area up, maybe show the gray area Twitter really quick. Really appreciate anyone who goes to Shroomforce and decides to get on the newsletter or get on the wait list or want to support it any way you want. But really want to plug the gray area. I do a very phenomenal show with my co-host, Tim Tompkins. We're live every Thursday and Sunday. On Sundays, we do usually a 3+ hour show. We have a phenomenal guest on, like you were talking about. Had Casey Putch on, had Fishback on, have had you on, as well as your co-host, Lebanon John. So if you want to come find me and you want to see more of my broadcast media and more of my takes, just go follow Gray Area Talks on X and get started with me. We're also on YouTube and Rumble.
Absolutely. And of course, you can support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. We always have fantastic sales there and all the supplements. Any new supplements you want to tell us about?
Man, I don't know. Old but gold. I created Power Plant and Methyl Drive. They're two ancillary products that are designed to be taken with Methylene Blue. I got to really brag on Power Plant. Methyl Drive is an amazing daily driver. If you want to get CoQ10 and PQQ in your system, you know, for the heart function, for the mitochondrial function, for the balance, all of it. But if you want a true performance supplement, you know, a lot of people back in the day, they loved our X3 and they loved our Super Male Vitality because it really aided in exercise and aided in performance. I wanted to figure out how I could supercharge that. So I put two of my favorite compounds, which are Rhodiola Roja, also known as Arctic Root or Golden Root. It's what the Vikings literally took on the boats, okay? It's the most powerful stuff there is. I put that together with Cordyceps Mushroom, which everyone knows boosts your oxygen carrying capacity, makes you make more energy. I put those together with a really powerful mineral blend, and it's available in the Power Drive bundle. So if you go get that or you go subscribe to it, I guarantee bang for your buck, pure power potential compared with anything else besides Methylene Blue. You're not going to find anything better. And it's even better when you take them all combined together. So get whatever products you want from the Alex Jones store. Check out Power Plant. Look it up at least.
Absolutely. And now's a great time to do it. You're getting $10 off your order just right off the bat. $10, it's yours. Plus, if you're a VIP member, that's an extra $10. So really, you can get a lot of stuff for practically free if you're a VIP member at thealexjonesstore.com or for just $10 off, no matter who goes to thealexjonesstore.com. And just, yeah, a ton of fantastic products, including new t-shirt designs on almost a daily basis. And we have some very sort of aggressive and, you know, big InfoWars branded shirts, which are always very cool. But there's also just the classic Americana.
Oh, look at that. Look at that 1776 Live Free or Die. Let me tell you, I've been watching my dad wear shirts like that since I was little. So if you want to look like Alex Jones at home or on the street, you go buy that 1776 shirt right now. And hey, bundle it together with the Power Plant. Why not? Have total victory.
And that's 20% off right now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. That's what keeps us on the air and in the fight in this ever more insane world.
That's right.
That we get back into now. This story, I know.
Storage wars?
The storage wars.
Are we going
there?
Okay.
So the story from New York Post, Jeffrey Epstein stashed secret files in storage units across the U.S. that may include unseen evidence. So according to the New York Post, Jeffrey Epstein secretly stashed computers, photographs, and other items in storage units scattered across the U.S. and paid private detectives to move the material around as investigators closed in on him, according to a new report. Financial records and emails reviewed by the Telegraph reveal the dead pedophile rented at least 6 storage lockers nationwide, some starting in 2003, and paid for them until 2019, the year he died by suicide in lockup. So, yeah, we were saying I
just got outbid again. They're going to find the photos. It's a big problem. Hillary, please give me more money.
Bill Clinton on storage wars.
Yes.
No, we need to win this one.
I'm pretty sure it's in there, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And, you know, there's a reason why people have been so drawn to the Jeffrey Epstein story is because people are addicted to true crime. And it doesn't get any more true crime than what Jeffrey Epstein did. I mean, Zorro Ranch, the island, the hidden storage unit. It's the giant school he turned into his pedo lair in New York.
Yep.
It's James Bond villain stuff, man.
It absolutely is. And you have to wonder how much of this stuff has slipped through the cracks. Like, what was he able to get away with? Like, we know we only have like 2% of what they gathered. What they gathered is probably just a percentage of what they actually had. We even know now that the IDF or Israel itself actually ran the security at one of his houses where people slept all the time. So there's almost certainly off-site video storage of everything that went on there, probably in Tel Aviv or somewhere else. So it's
right.
Like there is so much still that we aren't hearing about, and it's like this is what happens when investigators are in on it.
I think about that island cleanup so much, man. You think about the sulfuric acid and be like, oh, there's legitimate cleaning purposes for it, whatever. Okay, I don't think you order that much. And then I think about that trap door. All right, that leads to Mama Tiger Shark, and we've talked about that before on the program. But I think about, like, they probably had to have a team of divers out there to clean up the human bones.
Yep.
That is my theory. And then you have people like Michael Tracy will come out and say, just because you don't have, you know, the evidence that they won't give you, you can't make these claims. And I'll just go back to Charles Barkley. Absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. Okay.
Yep.
Things are being hidden from us. They're being redacted. They have the videotapes. Epstein was a film master, a cinemaphile, not just a PDF file, cinemaphile. There are cameras set up. There are hidden cameras in all of these rooms. And then there's no tapes. There's no data. He never trafficked anybody. I'm sorry. I'm not buying it.
Yeah. And you know, JP Morgan just paid out millions of dollars to the, I think it was JP Morgan, right? Paid out millions of dollars of settlement to the Jeffrey Epstein victims. They did that out of the goodness of their heart, not because there was a crime that went on or things like this. The former UK ambassador Mandelson has been arrested after the Epstein revelations. I bet they're going to feel like fools, right? I mean, certainly this didn't happen for any reason.
I've seen people again like Michael Tracy and they go, well, look, well, they got Prince Andrew for giving him secrets. They got Peter Mandelson or whatever his name is for giving him secrets. And it's like, well, how in deep do you have to be with the person for them to give you secrets? Okay.
Right.
It's not like, it's not the cause, it's the effect. Okay. Like this is a multi-layered operation. He was blackmail master.
Yeah.
That's what he was.
Absolutely. No, it's, you know, let's talk about the UK a little bit because I don't know if you've seen these, but some of the stuff coming out of the UK is just absolutely horrifying. Like I haven't even wanted to talk about this stuff because of
it's horrible. I hate watching videos of Londonistan and all of it. Yeah. No.
Yeah, it's and some of the descriptions are worse than you can possibly imagine. But let's go ahead and start with clip 12 here, because this lays out exactly why Peter Mandelson was arrested. Let's watch.
No mistake about it, Mark. This is a seismic moment, not only for Peter Mandelson, but for British politics as a whole. 6 months ago, the man that you can see in the pictures was the British ambassador to Washington, one of the maybe half dozen most powerful figures in this country, personally appointed by Keir Starmer against elements even of his own better judgment, persuaded of it, we believe, by his then chief of staff, Morgan McSweeney, because he was thought to be the only man who could bridge the divide with Donald Trump's White House after the US president returned to the White House for the second time. Peter Mandelson believed to be the only person who could help Britain and sort out its trading and relationship with the US at this tricky time. Today, being taken away, as you can see, by police. Peter Mandelson has denied any wrongdoing, but I suspect there will be a lot of focus on those emails that we heard so much about, emails from the last time Gordon Brown was in the British government, when Peter Mandelson was in the British government, when Gordon Brown was Prime Minister, Peter Mandelson, then Business Secretary, alleged to have forwarded emails, that's what the Epstein emails suggested, forwarded emails to Jeffrey Epstein, potentially containing confidential government material. The allegation that he tipped off Jeffrey Epstein about an impending EU bailout and that he notified the financier about the activities of the British government and gave advice to big US bankers to mildly threaten the then UK Chancellor.
All right, so
the late
just some more
Alistair.
Information about the arrest of Peter Mandelson and what was behind it. But again, it's just worth watching to be like, yeah, this is how everybody should be reacting. This is the exact process. And really, it should be to an even greater degree. But at least there you have an example of like the claims were made. Things were discovered in the email. Investigation started here a week later. He's being arrested because more information has been found. We haven't even seen a sliver of the similar activity here in America.
Yeah, and I think it speaks to how much more gangster, you know, our establishment is. Because over there, they're old school. Like, hey, you know, someone's got to go for away for all this. Someone's got to take a fall. You understand? We made you not a prince anymore. We're going to send you to the jail for 6 months. We're sorry we had to do it to you. Over here, it's like Crips and Bloods shooting each other on PCP in the street. Anything that can be weaponized, like if a Democrat is in the files, they'll do everything we can about Bill Clinton, but then we're also in the files, so we can't go after it there. And it's just this whole thing there's no congruency of thought. And the public is seeing this in regards to the file. It's nothing, but all the names are redacted and you can't release anything. It's just they don't want to be hypocrites because they know that's going to make them lose the support of the public. So even if it's symbolic, they will bury someone. Over in Europe, we will not do it because everyone's got to scratch somebody else's back.
No, it's ridiculous. And it's embarrassing that the UK is doing it, especially when the UK has basically been a rapeocracy for the last couple of decades. Like that's what's the confusing part to me is like, I expect UK to be worse than us at everything because they're basically committing suicide on a national scale.
Right.
But then they're able to pull off stuff like this or even other stuff when it comes to Europe. It's similar to like California stuff too. He's sweating now. That's funny.
Yeah. I just don't think we care about our system. And I think the people at the top don't care about the system because it's a smash and grab game. It's a home invasion. They're going to get what they want. They're going to tie the family up and then they're going to get out of there.
Yeah.
Right. And like overseas, I think they have more long-term calculus. Even if their economy is over and their demographics are done, at least they want to maintain the integrity of their system. Let me tell you right now, 10 years, American politics are going to look a lot different.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's going to be, we'll be here. It'll be very interesting to watch it develop. But because of the actions that are being taken today, the old system is slitting its own wrists in the bathtub. That's what's happening.
That's certainly, how it feels. And again, to look at UK and how bad it's gotten there, Rupert Lowe, of course, is leading the charge on all of this. But I want to go to a couple of videos to just, explain how thoroughly involved the UK, you know, infrastructure, their actual power structure is in all of this. Let's go to clip 18 here. They're talking about basically what they decided was you get one rape free. Basically, in the UK, I'm not even kidding. If they found out that you were part of a grooming gang raping white children, they would give you a warning and ask you to stop.
Well, see, 2 years in prison, you know, offensive speech online, but hey, you little grape time, nothing wrong with that. We'll let you, you know, first strike is not a problem.
First strike's not a problem, and then they don't actually log that anywhere, so then the next time you do it, they're gonna also think it's a first time, so you just keep getting first strikes over and over. And the person who came up with this, and the person who set this into motion was, of course, current Prime Minister Keir Starmer. Let's watch clip 18.
Wow.
We'll start. How did you get to the bottom of this investigation?
Right, so this all came from, I was looking into grooming gangs in London, and I was looking through investigations that didn't really come to pass, but there being strong evidence of there being a grooming gang. And one of the lines that we noticed was a girl who'd been coerced to go to a hotel, been raped by multiple men, and then one of the officers had said, why don't we give them a child abduction warning notice? So immediate question that me and my colleague that were looking at this had was, okay, what's one of those? And when we dug in.
Yeah, one of those should be a bullet.
Yeah.
That's what the notice is. Okay. You do that. I will give you a notice. All right. We'll come give it to you in person. I mean, that's wild. And if you say that over there, I'm sure they'd throw you in prison for 5 years.
Yeah.
But we're not over there, are we? You know,
they need our help. We need to be running guns in the UK. But yeah, no,
outrageous. I'm sorry to pause there. It's crazy. Well, we're going to give them a warning and that will solve the problem. It's like, well, you know, Abdul, you've done 27 rapes and, you know, we're going to have to give you a strongly worded letter next time. It doesn't work that way. You have to stop the behavior.
No, it's good. It's completely insane. Let's go back. It gets worse because it's not all of them who got a warning. They would pick one person and give that one person a warning. Yeah, yeah. It's worse than you think.
Safety in numbers.
Yeah.
more and more, what we essentially found was that in the years that followed the Rotherham Rochdale scandals, the police were looking around for a way to tackle this massive problem, which had always been there, but people weren't, they were turning a blind eye to, right? And these paedophile ASBOs were kind of the perfect response. Because what they would do was, when they would come up with a concerning situation with a child, or actually even worse than that, clear evidence of exploitation or child rape, they would give one of the suspects one of these warning notices. Now, in the bit that you just read, they said that they're effective. That is complete nonsense, right? We went through to see whether there was any test of whether these things were effective. And the research, you just see a long trail of academics all saying, we need to do more research to see whether these warning notices actually work. Now, the Keir Starmer bit kind of came at the end. Because when we were going through it, we're kind of like, okay, so the police started using these to tackle them. When did they come about? Well, Mr. Starmer, who is quite keen to talk about in the House of Commons, I was the Rochdale prosecutor. I was the first person to do that. Mm. The first mention that we find is in the report that you've put up on the screen, where it talks about drafting and agreeing them with police chiefs. Mm. Now, why on earth the CPS was drafting and agreeing a tool for police chiefs to be using for this, I don't know. But the name on the top of that document is Keir Starmer. And they can say, there's lots of other stuff going on. When he wants to be involved as being the Grooming Gangs prosecutor, he is. And when there's something that's a bit inconvenient, like this, which has been used, it's the number one tool. Disruption is the number one way that the British police deal with child sexual exploitation.
Indeed.
So,
what a joke.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, okay, Peter Mandelson was friends with Jeffrey Epstein, but your entire system has covered up things that are worse than you can even find in the Epstein files. I mean, the latest statement from the rape gang inquiry under Robert Lowe is truly horrifying. But
do you want me to read it? You want to give it to me?
I can read it. I'll put it here and we can read it. But just before we do, I mean, there's a reason Keir Starmer is prime minister, right? And it was that right there. He actually was instrumental in helping to cover up and perpetuate the rape gang scandal. That's why he was made prime minister. Make no mistake about it. So now that they're all angry that, this guy was connected to Jeffrey Epstein, it's like, fine, but your entire system is built on the back of industrial level rape.
Yeah, the cultural suicide is really something to behold, right? And that's why you talked about not even wanting to watch stuff going on in the UK, because this is cartoon bad. I mean, a rape gang does something to a little kid, and then they give one of them a letter.
Yep.
I think I know what happened when the West dropped capital punishment and said it was too mean and it was too cruel and you can't do this to people and everybody's got to have a chance because you can't give the state all this power. What happened? We've started killing all the wrong people and we've started paying to keep all the right people alive.
Yep.
I would like to see that turn on its head a little bit. It's my honest take on this, because you shouldn't be getting a letter. You should be getting something else. Expedited.
Yeah. And whoever sent the letter should also be receiving a similar treatment. I mean, the whole system has got to go at this point. And I'll read this, but, fair warning, content warning here. You're listening with little kids. Turn it off right now. Viewer discretion is advised. I'm not joking about that. I don't want to read this, but you got to understand what's actually going on. This is from Rupert Lowe, who, of course, is running the Restore Britain party to undo the damage that's been done. This has to do with it's a statement from the rape gang inquiry. And they talk about a survivor of one of these rape gangs. The survivor's violent gang rape and abuse began at the age of 12 when she was raped multiple times per day over many years. The rapes were filmed and used as blackmail. The survivor has stated that multiple police officers were active perpetrators. Money was exchanged openly, and this destroyed her ability and willingness to seek help. Police vehicles were used to traffic her, and some of the other abuse events were called cop nights.
Wow.
The extreme pain she suffered included filmed torture in places called red rooms. The torture included waterboarding and strangulation by rope. Distressingly, she was raped by a dog, filmed, and forced to rewatch the footage as men placed bets.
Wow.
During this specific period of abuse, she witnessed the murder of at least three girls, one of whom was allegedly killed as a punishment for speaking to the police force.
Harrison's got a hard job, guys. Look at what Harrison has to stare into to do the show. Look what he has to report on. Look at what he has to cover because the mainstream media won't do it because they're all complicit in covering up this garbage. This should be the top story everywhere,
yeah,
but it's the top story nowhere.
It's like beyond horrifying. And when you learn that the police are involved, I mean, put yourself in this little girl's shoes. I mean, she was 12 years old.
Yes.
Police officers are raping her and girls are being killed in front of her for going to the police.
And you're like, you're supposed to look at the authority to help you. And you're like, why are you hurting me? And they're laughing at you. It's disgusting. They all got to die.
And I guarantee you the police were made police officers specifically because it was like, well, these poor Pakistanis, they don't like being policed by white people. And that makes them feel bad. To feel more, you know, involved, we need to put them in police uniforms so that they can be a part of the community. And then you've got rape gang members in the police force.
Liberal, liberal, liberal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally. And not only that, and I've reported on this 6 years ago, I think, at this point, but, you know, more people are finding more accounts where they were also running orphanages, right? They would put these people in charge of orphanages. No, literally, they would run orphanages like brothels. So, like, imagine being a child who has lost their family, who has nobody else looking for them, and the state-run orphanage is literally lending you out on a daily basis.
And that culture, the migrant rape gang culture, it pairs so well with the British elite. They're simpatico. I mean, look at Jimmy Savile. Okay. Yep. This guy would donate to hospitals with paralyzed wards and he would go in there and do things to paralyzed children.
Yep.
Okay. So they say, okay, we've got a new permanent underclass that's going to be a part of our scams and a part of our murder campaigns and a part of our rape campaign. Great. Right on a board. Now, that's the real death of the UK.
Yeah. No, it's beyond horrifying, and I don't know if we have time to go to
Clip. This guy is like a demon from hell, and this guy, I think he died of natural causes. He never saw a jail cell. He was a knight, right? I think he's a knight as well. He's just beyond anything.
Yep.
We're glad this guy's gone. He's partying with the devil in the lake of fire right now.
Yeah, and again, it's been that way for a while. It's not a coincidence that the British royalty was involved with Jeffrey Epstein.
It's a culture.
It is a culture, and it's a I don't understand it, obviously, because I can't put myself in the mindset of these people. But I think you're right that there's some sort of fellow feeling with the Pakistani rape gangs. And that is certainly a part of why the cover-up was allowed to happen, because the class system in Britain is still so strong and prevalent that a lot of people just thought, these lower-income, lower-class girls are getting in trouble. Well, that's what the lower class does, you know. They don't look after their kids, and their kids are all, messed up, and that's just what happens.
We played that video of King Charles and that one lone protester saying, like you're covering up for, the abuse of children and yelling at him, trying to get him to acknowledge some truth. And you got the British people going, God save the king. How dare you? How dare you criticize? I don't even know what you call him. Like, he's not no king to me. He's just Charles. Unc Charles. They're just fawning over him and worshiping him. And the one guy who's trying to call it out, they shout him down the most. I want to make this point because obviously it's a cultural problem. Obviously the Pakistani rape gangs, they do this. But beyond anything, you have to understand there's the racial narrative that gets people incensed on both sides, because maybe you're a minority. You're like, why are they coming after the Pakistanis? Or maybe you're a white person or a British person. You're like, I don't want these people in my country. Well, why are they in your country? The elite class in your country pairs with them perfectly. So it's the same exact system. And we've got to realize the meta level conclusion, which is these systems, they got to go.
Yeah.
They got to go. Because, like, if you hurt a kid, you shouldn't be alive.
Right.
I think it's that simple. I think Dan Bilzerian put up a poll, and he said, like, if you do anything to someone under the age of 12, instant death. And I think it should be much more loose than that. But, yeah. I mean, that's a good place to start.
And all the people covering it up, again, this was a systemic thing.
Yes.
And you hear that word a lot, or swears, it's a systemic, we're in a patriarchy. But, like, no. The police were in on it. The lawyers were in on it. The people in the highest realms of the government were in on it and helping to cover it up in order to not look racist. But, like, I can't even buy that as an excuse, right? I mean, that just seems like
that's the low-level brain rot they get to control people. At the upper level, the people that are in positions of power, whether that's government or finance in the UK, they know this is how they roll.
Yeah.
This is what they do. Yeah, look at that. I mean, like, it's overwhelmingly positive. This is what people want. In America, across the world, we're not getting it because the people that are elected to, run the government, they don't work for us. They work for the people that are committing the crimes.
Yeah.
So
I like that. Mary Tiles, Texas, investigate the people who said no.
Yeah.
That's basically, yeah. Yeah, pretty much. And again, it's great that all this stuff is coming out, but, like, yeah, you got to do something about it. We have to do something extreme about all of this.
It's not extreme. It's not extreme. We have to do what's right. This is not a crazy thing to ask for. This is not, oh, you're loopy, you're wild. Let's go back to living in a polite society where certain things aren't tolerated.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that ties us into what we started covering at the beginning of this episode, which is what's going on in Mexico and
yes,
the level of tolerance of corruption that it can get to. What we have in the West is a beautiful and wonderful and almost impossible to achieve thing, and we are losing it very rapidly because yes, of these pedophile scumbags that just control all the strings. We have to seize them back with alacrity and intensity. Rex Jones, follow yes, him at Rex Jones News with a Z on X on Instagram. It's at Go Shroom Force, and go to shroomforce.com. Thanks so yes, much for being with us, Rex.
Politically, not violently. Thank you for having me on the show, man.
We want to politically and nonviolently kill all of these people.
We love it. We love it. Thank you for being here with us tonight on the War Room.
We'll see you tomorrow, folks.
People can use this as a teaching moment. That, you know, I see a lot of these people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it. Just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultra methylene red.